Can't get you off my mind. Not even long enough to cry. I think I've lost my mind. And I can't help but ask myself why I let you hurt me and tug on my heartstrings. Can't get you off my mind. Your damn old memory. 'Cause your memory's got me thinking.
Marines were easy bait in Memphis. Pumped a lot of priests in New Orleans. They got every type that cruising by the river. Hustlers and choir boys and
Leather Queens. Big Queens keep on turning. Plow Marys keep on burning. Trolling on the river. Trolling on the river. Hey!
If you go down at the river, you could do a neighbor or a relative. You don't have to worry if you lose your hand, because the people on the river are happy to give.
Big Queens keep on turning,
and down there is keep on churning.
Trolling
on the river.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the June 11th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running co-executive producer of this show.
And I'm Wes Laverne, back another year older.
Oh, how old are you?
Old enough.
Yeah, they were kind of turned down.
For what?
You'll figure that out later.
Well, we're in the midst of Happy Pride Month.
And it's a hot one, too.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad we have nighttime parades.
All I know is I'm covered in sweat from head to toe tonight.
Well, almost nighttime parades.
Depends on what time you show up.
Well, it starts at 8:15.
Yeah, but
it's really bright at 8:15.
But this year we have to be lined up and everything early this year.
Yeah, I heard that.
Like 6 o'clock, if I remember correctly.
Oh hell, nobody. except for the professional floats, nobody has theirs together.
Well, the judging of the floats starts at like 6:05.
Oh, that's going to be a problem. Going to be a problem.
And from what I understand, if you're not at your float and ready to go, you're not getting to your float.
What do you mean you're not getting to your float?
Yeah, if you're not at your float at, like, when they start the judging, you're not getting to your float.
How's well, they that? Shut down. That's when they shut down the streets.
Oh, you can still walk to it.
I don't know. I have to double check, but from what I heard, you won't even be allowed to walk to
it. Not with a Gestapo there.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, no. People...
Jimmy doesn't got to prance his ass over to the floats until at least 7:30.
Yeah, why?
You're going to have to be there earlier than that because of the new rules that they've got in place this year.
Oh, wear your medal. They'll let you through.
People.
Who need people? No, awesome.
Yeah, no. People walk around looking at other people's floats between 6 o'clock and starting time.
Not this year.
Okay, well.
See, Kyle.
Well, I may be watching the parade then, because I'm not going to be there at 6 o'clock. They can kiss my ass.
Don't put glitter on it.
Oh, no, that's right. No glitter in the parade.
Yeah, no glitter this
a
year.
A nighttime parade with no glitter. What the hell are they thinking?
Well, it's not a nighttime parade. They're starting in the daytime. That's their loophole.
Yep.
Oh, well. Happy Pride!
Well, James found his irony.
Oh, goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard Jimmy Carper on a soapbox.
First time in 24 years I've heard it.
Oh, wow.
No, I do that every now and then.
Yeah, but not often enough, honey.
Evidently.
Apparently not.
So, how was everybody's week?
Wow, it flew. We had a week?
We had a week.
It's been a whole week since we've been
here. I don't know
here.
How we had a week, but we did. I lost 2 days.
Wow.
I started on fur check duty over on Sunday.
Are you going to explain that?
Duty? Yeah.
I hope so.
Wasn't a beaver, was it?
No. It was over at Tony's for the beer bust. Beer bust.
Oh.
And downtown they were doing... that summer fest.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about this.
So, Tony decided, I got a chance to screw the breeders over for $10. And was charging $10 to park there for Summerfest. But if you were coming to Tony's, you didn't have to pay for parking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had hired this new guy, straight, doesn't know any of the bears. None of the bears are going to know him.
Yeah.
And I'd asked Tony if he needed any help. So I stood outside in the parking lot for about an hour, basically looking at the car going, okay, what are you here for? And if I recognize one of the bears, says, come on in. Or, they recognized me, and I say, yeah, go on in. And then asking all these little twink straight couples, I'm here for Summerfest. Well, parking's down there, and it's $10. Go down there. And so I was basically doing fur check of letting the bears in.
and their friends.
And had to explain to the straight barback that Tony just hired, what bears are. I said, yeah, be careful when you get in there. You're going to get mauled. I first said he was I called him a cub, and I go, too skinny. You're going to be an otter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, huh? So I had to explain the bear...
The bear code.
The bear app. No, that's not. I didn't go to the bear code. God, that was too long and annoying.
And it's typical of Tony's barbacks. They're absolutely gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
Have bodies to die for.
Yep.
And not a brain cell working.
So,
except for Herman.
Well, I'm talking about barbacks.
Yeah. So I was doing that. I had one guy who pulled up, and he said he was going to Summerfest. I go, it's $10. Parking's down there. He goes, well, what's going on here? I may want to go in here. I said, not. You already said you're going to Summerfest. Go. And he pulled a U-turn and screwed up traffic doing his U-turn. And when he drove by, he yelled out, you need to lose some weight.
Oh, brother.
And if I would have been thinking, I would have said, no, come back. I'm going to let you come in the bar. And make that fat joke around all these guys here. call them fat, Let's see how long you last.
He wouldn't make it past the gate.
No, because that's where all the bears were around the back, out patio.
Yeah, and they were having the garage sale thing.
Yeah, the garage sale was going on out.
And they were upset because they didn't think it was going well, but they got over $400.
And then had to hurry and put everything up because it started to rain.
Yeah.
Thank God. It was 106 degrees out there.
I mean, it was to the point where when it started to rain, they actually made an announcement on the microphone in the bar during the show. There was a show going on.
It's raining.
It's raining. And it's not men.
And everybody ran outside.
So. That was the start of my weird week.
Okay. So what have we got going tonight?
We got a lot going on tonight from what I... understand. We got Leather Ties.
Yes, Leather Ties is here.
Theater Suburbia.
Theater Suburbia.
Yeah.
Doing a new play.
Doing a new play.
And what would that new play actually be?
Murder at the Howard Johnson's, I believe.
Okay.
You didn't think I knew that, did you? Actually, very nice lady, Suzanne. I love Suzanne.
Oh, Suzanne.
She's out in the lobby saying, are you actually going to come see this one? Oh, my God, I've missed one play in 20 years. And it's like, hello. You know, and it was move time.
Okay.
Sign language. Okay. So, yes, they're here waiting to go on. Waiting in the wings, if it were, for a theater. So.
Okay, so we'll find out more about that after the announcements.
Absolutely.
Okay, and there is another play going on.
The Gay Pride, a brilliant play, a talented cast, a beautiful venue, that one?
That one.
Okay.
Say and, that again?
It's The Temperamentals.
Ah, yes. Joe it's Watts'
a, it's
play.
A, it's a special Gay Pride event that they're going to do, besides running a full gamut of so on. The Temperamentals was actually a code for homosexuals in the early 1950s, part of a created language of secret words that gay men used to communicate.
I even remember that far back.
Only that far back? Oh.
Hey, I'm surprised you remember past last week.
Depends on the day you
old memories him. Stick yeah. With you. It's exactly. The new ones that fade.
It's the important ones.
Again,
story.
Like I said.
Well, this story tells the... This is a story of two men.
Yes.
The communist Harry Hay and Viennese refugee and designer Rudy
Gernreich.
Thank you. After 3 weeks, he thinks I can't say it yet. As they fall in love while building the first gay rights organization in the pre-Stonewall United States. It's supposed to be an excellent play. What's really important about it, to me, is that on June 16th... No, what's the date of that? Down here, June 24th, the performance is going to be a special performance for. They've got me all screwed up here on my dates. Dun, dun, dun.
I thought
somebody do a quick
that.
Song and dance. Yeah.
Yeah. I really did.
And as
was.
Soon as I find the date, because he's just got hit me here with all kinds of dates in this one. This is not the same announcement I had.
Yes, it is.
Is it? Well,
yes,
it doesn't
it
appear.
Is.
To, well, it's in. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, he's doing a special performance for the GLBT Community Center. For as a pride event.
Well, we actually have that in the.
Oh, good. So I don't have to look for the date.
Right.
Okay. This is a show that Joe Watts is putting on, and I'm very glad to see that he's still doing things like, you know, pride events for various local organizations.
Yeah. Where's it going to be held?
It's going to be held at.
Oh, I had to ask.
Yeah, you had to ask because, you know, he gives me 716 pages and wants me to pick four lines out of it at the last minute. The recital room at Dowling Music. It's 2615 Southwest Freeway, the second floor at Kirby Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And for more information on the Dowling Music, you can go to dowlingmusic.com.
Easy enough.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of easy.
Okay.
Curtain for performances is going to be at 7:30.
Queer music going on this month because J.D. Doyle is the queer music guru. He has two things. He has QMH, his Queer Music Heritage. You can hear the first hour of it on the fourth Monday of the month during Queer Voices, which is on this station from 9 to 11. And he's featuring the music of Stephen Grossman. In 1974, Stephen Grossman made GLBT history by having the first lyrically gay album released by a major label. He died of AIDS in 1991, but 6 weeks before, some of his friends got him into a studio to record a number of his unreleased songs. On the 20th anniversary of his death, a CD of this material called Something in the Moonlight is being released. The show this month features special live tracks and interviews with Stephen's friends and the CD's producers and from Stephen Grossman himself, a historic interview from 1977. And there's more. I've just added to my site a video of Stephen in Concert from 1975. That's fabulous. So you'll hear part one on Queer Voices, or and then there's a part two and a part three. My God. That's J.D. He's
Look,
so
it's
thorough.
A long list, yeah.
He's so incredibly thorough. Yeah, part three even. And you can go to dubcubed.queermusicheritage.com to hear the whole thing. And then, on his other Out Radio, for June, another 3 hours of the best of GLBT music, including interviews with Sean Wiggins, Jennifer O'Connor, and David Dubb. So, and there's 3 hours of that, too, going on. So, you can go to dubcubed.outradio.com for that one. That's like 6 hours of queer music.
For him, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what this guy
And he
has.
Puts it together so well.
He does. He God. Does. Okay, Chris, what do you got?
Aurora Breyer Summer Camp Show is on Sunday.
Sunday.
Where are you going?
I'm going to...
No, you're not.
No, you just need to stay here.
Okay.
Suffer.
Get over it.
Anybody out in the lobby, bring Jimmy a drink.
Where's your drink at?
I thought it was right here.
Okay. Yeah. As long as you don't leave. Okay. Okay, yes, you may go into the other room.
It's coming to you, Jimmy.
30 seconds.
June 12th, 7 p.m. over at the BRB, 2400 Brazos. Limited tables are for sale. Mm. It is benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities.
What's she getting for her tables?
100 each.
Oh.
Contact Aurora or David Adams. You only have a couple days left to submit your put in your submission for the Louis 39 pin and poster contest.
Yeah. What?
It's a surprise.
David's trying to signal to me.
He really needs to learn sign language.
David, leave him alone. It's going to be a surprise.
Oh, God.
Pin and poster contest. Put your creativity to the test. We designed a pin and or poster for Louis 39. The deadline is Wednesday at 8 p.m. at George's, hopefully in the shed.
Hopefully not.
For more information, go to louisweekend.com for all the specs of what you need on that.
That is...
We'll turn the air on. Yeah.
Come in for a thrill on Wednesday. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit country, a little bit rock and roll show hosted by candidate for Mr. TGRA 2012, Jody Travis, is on Friday, June 17th at 10 p.m. over at the BRB.
10 p.m.
All proceeds benefit TGRA, a nonprofit 501c3 organization. And its charities of Assist Hers and the Colt 45. Please join GCAM for Eros Men and Abstract, featuring the works of Daniel Houston.
Ooh.
On Saturday, June 18th, from 6 to 9 p.m., over at Mixed Emotions Fine Art Gallery. That's 95 Tom.
And that's right across the street from Meteor's front door.
Oh, okay. Complimentary parking, valet parking. 20% of all the proceeds will be going to GCAM.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Houston graduated from the Cooper Union School of Art, raised in New York City, moved to Houston 30 years ago. And so, and yeah, you know who GCAM is.
Yeah.
Man's got a talented pin, that's for sure.
For the Girls Five, a tribute to strong women on Saturday, June 18th, 8 p.m. at EJ's, 2517 Ralph. It's a benefit for the ladies of Assist Hers. That's done by Falcon and...
And Falcon.
I don't see the name of the name. An Imperial Prince Royale, XXVI. Can't read the name. June 18th, the launch party for About Magazine from 6 to 9 p.m. over at the M2M Lounge. That's all it says on there.
Oh.
Well. Don't forget the Daddy of Entrepreneurs contest is coming up on Father's Day, June 19th. Registration is at 3, followed by a contest at 4. This gives everyone plenty of time to do your own thing early, attend the contest, and move on to Father's Day show at the BRB. There are still limited spots available for performers. Contact Daddy Stutes, Boo Boo, at Stutes1@Yahoo. If you want to enter the contest, you can download an application at daddyofmontrose.org. The contest show and any donations will benefit the PWA Holiday Charities.
And that's the poster that went with it.
And that's on Sunday.
Sunday.
June 19th at 4 p.m. over at Michael's Outpost, 1419 Richmond. Also on the 19th, Father Knows Best, presented by the King Fathers of Their Majesties, Gerald McNeil and Christopher Garrett. 7 p.m. at the BRB, mm-hmm. benefiting Montrose Counseling Center,
and
LHI, and Chaos.
Yeah.
Mark your calendars for the Super Duper Pride Tacticular Senior Center Seniors and Friends Potluck on Tuesday, June 21st at 6:30 p.m. over at the Fellowship Hall at Bethel Church UCC. 1107 Shepherd at Center. In addition to delicious supper, there will be door prizes, pride merchandise, and gas gift cards.
Ooh.
For more information tonight, go to HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org.
Okay.
I think that might be that one.
Gas credit cards, hey.
Is it my turn with this huge stack you left me?
Yeah, I know.
On Wednesday, June 22nd at 7 p.m., Linda Morales speaks at Rice, the Gay and Lesbian Latino Organization, and the Center for the Study of Women, Gender, and Sexuality at Rice University collaborate to present Latina lesbian activist Linda Morales, who will discuss her suit against the state of Texas in 1992 over the sodomy laws. This will take place in the Humanities Building, room 117 at Rice University. For more information, you can visit www.HoustonGallo.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then on...
This woman is amazing.
Yeah.
She's been in phenomenal. Our community for years and years and years. She's an unsung hero.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And that lawsuit was just amazing.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And then, of course, on June 25th is the Pride Festival from 1 to 7 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Be sure to drop by the History Tent. Pride Parade starts at 8:45. Let's see. On June 23rd, which is a Thursday, over at F Bar, which is at 202 Tuam, free admission for this event is called Jocks for Jocks 2011, a titillating sexy fashion parade you won't want to miss. Bid on fashions, purchase raffle tickets, or get your hands on incredible art. I bet that's what they'll be getting their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
It all benefits the Osteo Foundation and the
Osito.
Osito? Okay. Why'd you give me all the ones with all these words in it?
Because he likes to hear you stumble through them.
Yeah, apparently. And hear Chris criticize me. And the softball, Montrose Softball League. Half price happy hour until 9 p.m.
The Osito.
Yeah.
Group. Buys teddy bears for children with AIDS.
Ah, cool. The Gay and Lesbian Latino organization presents Noche de Gala, Black Tie Affair, our fifth annual... I'm not even going to
say... Ballet.
Yeah. With Grammy-winning Avazio Band, DJ Alex T, and a mariachi... I can't even say all these damn words. I'm not going to try.
I'm sorry.
Tickets are $50 pre-sale and $60 at the door. This is all taking place on June 24th from 7 p.m. to midnight. And I can't even read where the location is.
You can't even read where the location is? Oh,
yeah,
print.
It's all fuzzy. For more information, go to HoustonGallo.org.
That is really the event of the month, except for, of course, the Pride Parade.
Yeah.
Well, this is under these circumstances.
This is the big tuxedo thing. This is the formal thing. This is...
Ooh. First time I ever went to that, I felt like Cinderella.
Did you now?
I did. I absolutely did.
It's that good?
Yeah.
Ah.
And I'm old to feel like Cinderella.
Okay. I'm not sure who's doing this one, but all painted up and ready for show.
Mm-hmm.
GLBT 2011 Pride Show on Friday, June 24th at 8:30 p.m. over at Tony's Corner Pocket. The show is benefiting PWA Holiday Charities and is open to all performers with pride.
That would be the...
Pride of the Pride Committee?
Mr., Ms., and Ms. Pride, Houston.
Ah, okay.
How much more do you have for me?
A few things.
About five more once I get through this one.
Can we take a break or four more for just 1 second? Can I gotta kind of.
What?
Can we take a break in the counter for just 1 second? I got a surprise that's going to make your jaw drop.
Oh, boy.
Well, y'all go do that, yes. And I'll finish up my pages.
Huh?
Y'all go do that, and I'll finish up my pages real quick.
Bring it in here.
Like, oh. Oh. Okay.
It makes me scared.
No, I'll hold him in here, Chris. Come on, honey.
Well, I don't think Judy wants to be in here for that.
Probably not, but who cares?
Okay.
It's one of those surprises.
Would y'all wake me from my nap in a few minutes?
You might want to close your eyes.
Avert your eyes.
No, I didn't tell him.
He was talking to me.
But you might definitely want to close your eyes, Judy.
You think?
Yes.
Oh.
Don't turn around. Just
we
don't turn around.
The Kingston Trio is here?
No. Some people popped into the studio here.
Is this the naked bike ride?
It is.
Yeah. Yes.
I know of this group.
Come on in.
Bike ride.
Yeah,
yay. 2011.
Wow! I didn't know you had a group.
We do now.
Good, good. Yay. Let's talk about it.
Well, this is brand new in Houston because we needed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been in San Francisco and, mm-hmm. and New York.
It's
and
in literally dozens of cities all over
Europe
the Northern Hemisphere today and tonight.
Yeah.
In Portland, Oregon, they have upwards of 10,000 to 15,000 people participating.
Isn't that amazing?
We got about 20, so we're working on it.
Hey. We got to start somewhere.
We just more at the beginning. Just in case anybody wonders why the hell we're doing something like this. You can check out the website, which, you know, you've heard hundreds of times. But
say it again. Go ahead.
WorldNakedBikeRide.org.
Yes.
And learn about the spirit of World Naked Bike Ride, because it is, in fact, a demonstration against the continuation of car culture and the way automobile drivers tend to drive aggressively in the presence of bicycles and often run them off the road, resulting in severe injury and even death.
Mm-hmm.
There was a video from Porto Alegre, Brazil, where there was just a regular critical mass ride. This wasn't even a naked ride, but somebody in a car plowed through the bicycles, and you can see them mm-hmm. bouncing off the hood and the roof of that car. And it's pretty scary, because people get upset just because somebody's different, riding around on two wheels instead of four.
And when we're talking Montrose, we're talking, you know, we're a small town here, mm-hmm. and a lot of people ride bikes.
That's right. A lot of people right here in the great city of 77006 have to ride bicycles or want to ride bicycles because there's really no need to have a car here. But when you're out on the streets, you're extremely vulnerable, and the nudity symbolizes that vulnerability. On top of the fact that we are protesting against our addiction to fossil fuels and the wars that the fossil fuel appetite generates, we are here to show that we are vulnerable, and also we're here to have a great time.
Mm-hmm. I am so glad that we have a group finally, because I've been following this for several years now.
You're scaring the lights.
Even tonight, we were riding behind a few buses, and there were three or four buses doing some kind of high school event, and there was one bus who was literally trying to run us off the road.
Whoa.
And there was 30 of us, and it was like, we were in a lane and we were signaling too, so we almost got run off the road tonight.
Now this is also you don't have to be naked. You can be as naked as you're comfortable with.
Well, yeah, that brings up the asterisk here. You know, how do you like
we
my asterisk?
I actually like your front ridge.
I'm impressed at how much eye contact he's actually making.
There's a tremendous amount of asterisk involved in riding naked in the city of Houston.
Oh, yes.
Because we have not just car culture, but cop culture here.
You bet.
That will run people in. Because there actually is a city ordinance, ladies and gentlemen, that says if you're on a thoroughfare or visible from a thoroughfare, you're not supposed to have certain bits exposed. Including your aureoles, and I think everyone here knows what that is.
Us in the gay community, we know what you have to have a 1-inch strip up your butt, and have to have genitals covered.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who walks around with the
room? Who can see your hole when you're walking around? You got
it's
cheeks.
Legal, though, if the ladies cover the, I don't know if I can say it, because it's nipple.
Aerials?
Yeah, they carry the areola, but they can do it, we can be naked and topless if we have the
latex.
Kind of latex over it.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
You are naked, but you're not. I mean, it's just weird.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's why you're painted, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
politics.
Yeah, politics.
So we had, and we started out at somewhere between 35 and 50 riders here, and some people dropped out along the way because they had other things they needed to get to. But if the word spreads, you know, next year it's going to be hundreds, and it's going to just keep growing. And here in Petropolis, again, as I said before, we need something like this because we need a countervailing voice.
You bet. You guys need to come to this station weeks earlier to promote it. Yeah.
This is sort of a trial run.
This is the first time, yeah.
Next year we will be in the media. We'll probably even be in City Hall asking for a permit or something crazy like that.
Good. You know, and you'll be denied.
We'll be denied. And
the difference is if you come during the daylight hours, you may need to dress a little differently.
Uh-huh.
We have a
not for me.
We have laxer standards on our show.
Uh-huh. Everyone talks about electric.
We have standards.
Hydrogen fuel cells. Here's the human power.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, thanks for letting
me know. Whoa, there's more. I've missed some. Oh, my goodness.
How did you miss anything?
I'm a pink person.
Well, yeah.
You have got to give me those panties.
Like now?
I
know.
I'm in
lace. Those are great socks.
I'm staring at those.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know how you don't run the drivers off the road just looking.
By the way, if they didn't warn your head, this is a gay show.
We're here in Montrose.
I am so. Oh my God, those are great!
All right, you'll be off another month.
Black lace. That is so cool.
As long as he stays that far enough away and there's no friction sounds, we're okay. We're not going to get another suspension.
Thanks for having us.
You guys are so great to start this in Houston. You know, because I always thought, oh God, that'll be 10 years before we get a group like that. Ooh,
lubrication is important. For bike
chains.
Wow.
This is great.
So what you're saying is you want to borrow my bike next
time. So once again, let's give the website out again so people can find out more about it.
Yes, please.
Well, the general website is worldnakedbikeride.org. And that'll link you up also to the wiki site that'll tell you where this is actually going on and where it has gone on historically and where you can find pictures of the thousands of people who take to the streets of Portland and Chicago. Not Seattle tonight, although Seattle has a really good naked bike ride in July. Next week they're having the Solstice Parade, which is where hundreds of cyclists get painted up and otherwise decorated.
Yes.
It is absolutely a sight to behold.
Yes.
It is the definition of awesome. Shout out to Seattle, New York, and Philly, and of course cities
St.
all around
Louis,
the world.
London, Sydney, and Brazil.
Yeah, well, Brazil will be that'll be in March though, because the southern hemisphere it's a little cold right now, even in Brazil.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that's true.
London has a huge ride.
Yes, they do.
Paris, Barcelona, Madrid, Zaragoza. I think Rome has one now. And Rome
does. Yes.
Really bicycle unfriendly city, strangely.
Oh my God, they drive like idiots over there.
Athens has a great one too.
Oh.
All right. Well, and thank you all for coming in.
Thank you so much.
I'm so proud of my city.
There's no Chris yet.
Well, thanks, y'all.
Thank you all for coming in. Like I said, make sure you come back to the studio earlier next year.
Thank you. Yeah. Have a good night.
Unfortunately.
Jimmy won't. He won't be the same the rest of the night.
That is a nice asterisk.
Oh, it's not my type.
That's what David pulled me out for, and it's like,
oh.
David was a wreck.
He must have been a wreck. Because he has no idea what this group is.
He said, yeah, it was like, yeah, it was his case.
I'm just kind of glad it wasn't Hatch Night. Don't come back on the
show. We now return to the calendar.
Yeah. That was great. I am so glad that.
An extra show for Theater Suburbia.
And we got to promote that so that we can start working on it for next year.
Yeah, by the light switch, you should have been naked, though.
Mm.
Next year. Take it slow.
That's right.
Take it slow. Besides, well, there's only so much Jimmy's heart can take at one time.
We'll get Jimmy in next year. We'll get one of those bicycles, the bicycle rickshaws.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Have someone else pumping. All right.
No comment.
Moving on along.
Shall I finish now?
Please. Because I'm finished.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you were cooked a long time ago. The Three Musketeers presents Musical Madness over at the BRB at 10 p.m. on June 24th. hosted by Royce Wood, Christopher Ray D. Del Rio, and Craig W. Ray. This is a Rhesus event benefiting their Rain 27 charities.
You know, I'm thinking now, there's this group of naked and mostly naked people in the lobby with Theater Suburbia.
That's why I said they're getting an extra show. Fortunately, it was not a children's show.
Oh, boy.
All right. Back to the regular schedule of program. Come on out and enjoy yourself at... oh, hell. Is this... I don't know how to say her name.
Who?
The F one.
Who?
The F one?
Phalion?
Oh, Phalion.
Phalion. Close. Phalion's Big B-Day Bash. Mm-hmm. Where the modern geisha meets the samurai.
There you go. That's the theme.
That's it. That's the where. Where the... Oh, okay. I see. July 1st at 8 p.m. over at the BRB.
Yes.
With a meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
With little snacks and at 8 p.m. Showtime is at 9 p.m. Tables are being sold for $75 if you want to buy a table.
If Valiant puts on a very good show.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, then you know she's going to have the Capri folks with her. And, woo. Yeah. This is a show that going to be a show that you don't see very often.
No, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. That's the second time I've seen that word this year. On Sunday, July the 10th at 7 p.m. over at the BRB, Don Gill, Anne-Marie Gill, Marsha Meek Ann Gill, with special guest MC Fiona Dawson, are all presenting A Christmas in July, Barlesque, directed by David Sawyer. This is a PWA Holiday Charities event benefiting the AIDS Trouble Fund clients. Let's see. Oh, look, more Gills. Ricky D. Gill, Mr. Gay Pride Houston 2011, presents Hot Cowboy Disco... Not... what? All right, either quit blowing the stuff up or get a better printer.
It's going to have to be a better printer.
Yeah, because I can't read this last word now.
Okay.
All taking place on Friday, July 15th at 10:30 p.m. over at the BRB. Shows open to all performers, benefiting PWA Holiday Charities.
They sure are doing late shows these days.
I know.
I mean, you can't even go.
That's really late.
Yeah.
And then, boy, this is way out there. Don Gill Productions presents Live 2011 on Sunday. August 21st at 7 p.m. over at the BRB. Boy, the BRB
August
is booked
21st.
Up.
August
21st. Yes.
Director and Master of Ceremonies is Clay Hardy. This is also benefiting the PWA Holiday
that
Charities.
That doesn't hurt that he's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, that helps too, yeah.
Yay, Condor's done.
Okay.
Finally.
Did we get through this?
Barely. I think, didn't we have one more announcement?
And you got to see naked people while doing it.
I know, that's great. Ooh.
Don't we have one more announcement?
Don't we have one more announcement?
I think we have another announcement that happened today.
I don't know.
I do.
I heard a rumor that G-Cam picked up something today.
I know.
Weren't you going
to
play the flourish?
To go, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on.
Yeah, we have
to. It's all his idea. And it's like, poof.
Hold on.
But that's okay, because I can make an announcement without any flourish.
Hold on.
I can do my own flourish.
Give me a second.
Okay.
But I'm not going to get naked and ride a bicycle.
I'm almost there.
I would do it.
I'm getting close. Hold on.
Okay.
I've heard that before.
I love and respect my friends too much to get naked in front of them.
All right, here we go.
Yes, when you hear that on After Hours, that means...
Jimmy had Mexican food for dinner.
Okay.
No, that means that
get the air out of that one.
You're gonna hear something very important.
Very important. Okay. Well, I had the distinct honor today.
And you are?
Oh, I are Judy Reed.
Okay, because we didn't.
That's true. Yeah, I'm a founder and curator of Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender History, Inc.
Also known as G-Cam.
Also known as G-Cam. And I had the honor today of meeting Mr. Bobby Hugel, who happens to be one of the gentlemen who purchased the property at 1022 Westheimer.
That would
also
be...
Also
known as Mary's Naturally.
Yes.
That corner. And Mr. Hugel was there to meet me and several of my closest and dearest friends from the Houston Area Bears and beyond to pick up the bar tops from Mary's. To ferret them away to an undisclosed location for their own safety and until they can be refurbished, cleaned up, fixed up, blah, 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 and then re-presented to the community as... a nice, clean, wonderful, you know, historic item. And I was very excited about that. I contacted the Bears under cover of night. It was just like this real cloak and dagger thing. And I said, I need some help. Can you get some Bears over here at Tony's? We met at Tony's. And
it was like tomorrow.
That's
yeah.
right. I need them tomorrow. I don't even know what time yet, but can you do this? And they said, of course, for GCAM, we can do anything. And so we were supposed to meet at Tony's today at noon, so you and I were there at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And five or six wonderful people, I can say their names.
Yeah, exactly.
Wesley LeBron, Lloyd Powell, Robert Kahn, Jack Adams, and
Alton Howard
all came, and... They all had a nice little cocktail and kept saying, well, what are we doing? What are we doing? I said, good time, good time. So we went out to the car where it was private, and I said, we're going over Mary's to pick up the bar tops. And everyone, you could hear the gasps. It was wonderful. It was very exciting. Yeah. It was very dramatic, very, you know. And we caravaned over to Mary's where Bobby was waiting for us. And it took us 11 minutes to get those bar tops out of there and loaded because we were, like, not taking any chances on anything happening.
Yeah.
And we were observed by others as we did this. And so we thought we'd make the announcement tonight. Brandon, his name went out of my head. I forgot his last name. Brandon was there, a friend of ours, a friend of GCAM's, too, with a pickup truck. So we could, you know, have plenty of vehicles to get this done. So, Houston, Montrose, et cetera, the bar tops are safe and in our possession at this point, which pretty much completes the round of collections from Mary's. We were in the building. The bars were actually in the building. And
the bar tops.
The bar tops. The building is completely empty and absolutely, totally gutted and cleaned. The only thing in the bar at this point is the pipes sticking up out of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And the bathroom doors, I think, are still there. I'm not sure. But they've got it all cleaned up and ready to go. But Bobby did say it's going to be a little while before they actually do anything over on that corner.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Does he have any idea what they're going
to
do?
They're looking to restore its historic value as far as keeping the building intact and so on. They obviously had to gut it because it had been so destroyed from the inside.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, even the pipes were broken, so it had water running out the front doors for several days et cetera.
Yeah.
But he is looking to keep it an historic location. He does not know what he's going to do with it yet. He's got several ideas cooking. He shared one or two with me, which I just thought was very sweet of him to do so. Very nice man. Very, very astute. Very businesslike.
Mm-hmm.
And very cute, too.
Well, being cute didn't hurt.
In the Montrose.
Lives in the Montrose. Recently, he and Kevin Floyd and Stephen Flippo acquired Anvil or decorated, you know, started Anvil, whatever, which used to be in an old Bridgestone tire building. And they've kind of refurbished that to look kind of like a vintage, you know. It says even the glassware is vintage, reminiscent of grandmother's fancy glasses all unearthed at small local stores.
Oh.
They've brought back the history of that building and restored it to what would have been it's like original.
And so the Enfield, I take it, is a bar.
It is a it's yeah, cocktails and food.
Oh.
And they're just having a ball doing this.
Good.
Bobby actually is one of the owners and a bartender over there.
Oh.
So we plan to visit there pretty soon. But it's going to be a while before
it?
It's at... Yeah, I do, if I have to, you know, find it real quick.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's I know it's on Westheimer, and I know it's...
It is?
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's not far at all. No, I don't have an address on here. But you can look it up. It's called Anvil Bar and Refuge.
Oh.
And, again, it's fairly new. It also features an always-changing selection of 13 hard-to-score beers on tap, including a cask bar of mostly American microbrews.
Oh.
So they're very, you know... Mm-hmm. It says, developing a concept for Anvil was envisioned a return to the elegant simplicity of a past era when cocktails were fashioned with pride and bartending was a respected profession that took years of apprenticing to master.
Mm.
They're just really very, you know, an interesting little, you know, group of people. But they've restored the building back to its 1950s, late 50s, you know.
Well, you know,
vintage quality.
We need to go to that place and
oh yes,
spend
I definitely plan to do that.
The address for Anvil.
Yes.
1424 Westheimer.
Oh, my God. That's just right down the street.
That's just down the street.
Anvil Bar and Refuge is owned and operated by three cocktail freaks, Bobby Hugel, Kevin Floyd, and Stephen Flippo, just like you said.
To the same place I went, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so you've read all that already.
Oh, yeah.
So. Oh, isn't that where the daiquiri factory used to be?
Yeah, factory, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 1424 Westheimer.
And I don't really care to sample 13 hard-to-find beers. But I would certainly like to sit at a table and enjoy a little bite to eat and watch other people sample
Yeah.
And watch them.
And it looks like from what I'm
seeing. Tin bar.
Yeah, from what I'm seeing here, it looks like they're open daily 5 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Oh, okay.
So.
They have spirit forward drinks made with fresh ingredients, including house made bitters, sodas, infusions, and liqueurs. Each fashioned with careful attention to detail and flavoring local flavors and locally sourced ingredients. They're very
sounds like a great place
for
happy hour.
Yeah, then sounds like you can't leave there not happy. I know that when I left Bobby's company today, I was extremely happy.
Yes, to know that the bar tops are secure, both. Inside and outside bar tops. We want to stress that.
I think
they had been removed, and they were just sitting there waiting for us to pick them up.
They had been removed by someone else, and they were sitting outside.
Oh.
And when Bobby found them out there, he moved them. He had his crew move them into the building for safekeeping and to get them out of any kind of weather situation. Thank God it's been so dry.
Mm-hmm.
Because we could have been in serious trouble.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's going to take a while and a whole lot of work and expertise to rejuvenate these things. But I know we have the expertise and the spirits behind us to get this done.
Now, he also bought the old Chances complex.
Yes, he did. And rather than tear it down and build a new building from scratch, which would have been relatively inexpensive, they're choosing again to
really
kind of gut and redo. And I understand they're going to fashion it somewhat after the old Charlie's.
Oh.
Not after Chances so much, but after the old Charlie's.
See, because originally it was three separate buildings.
Yeah. I don't know that they're going to do that, but...
Yeah. I think they already torn down the barn.
Yeah. Yeah, actually it was.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh. So. That's where Silverlust used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the main bar of Chances, the one you walked into... was a place called Booby Rock, which was a heterosexual strip bar.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Well, it does. So, anyway, that's all the news that's fit to print. Now, I want everybody likes to keep, you know, their ears to the ground or whatever, because periodically we'll be giving you updates on how the bars are doing.
Okay.
Just so you know they're, you know, alive and well. And
I mean the bar tops.
What did I say?
Bars.
Well, whatever.
Okay.
Bar tops. You know, these things take on a life of their own. I've already seen so many naked men today, I could just puke.
Oh, you know. I could just
I don't want to know, okay?
Okay.
Okay. But we'll be giving you updates periodically, because at the end of this trail, we plan to do a, you know, a big splash and have the community be able to come in and actually view the refurbished bar tops. Mm-hmm. And enjoy the pictures and so on all over again. So I'm really very excited about that. Looking forward to it. But it's going to take several months, literally, to redo these bars. When they were removed, it was not a really overly... It was... Looking at them, it was a careful job. They didn't intentionally, I don't believe, destroy anything.
No.
But things were damaged.
Yes.
The trick to that is... We went in several months ago, a couple of years ago, and one of the founders, Bruce Reeves, actually scanned both bars.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have all that in my little data thing in the computer. So any pictures that might have been hurt in the removal of the bar tops, we do have those photographs intact. On the computer. So it's not the same as the original,
no.
But at least we can see what was there
very
clearly.
Okay,
so.
That's great.
All right.
Wow.
So that's all the announcements that are fit to print and some that aren't from me.
Yep, and we still got a couple minutes to burn.
Yes, we do, before we're at the top of the hour, where we bring you a couple of PSAs. Things.
For the love of God, are they in English this time?
What?
It looks like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what this OCHS is, so.
Oh. Is it
we'll
the person's
out.
Name, or?
I haven't the foggiest
clue. We'll have to hang around for that. Roundtable tonight, I got, so far, it's kind of light on there. Go to our Facebook page. I put up a video a couple days ago of... one of the songs we play here a lot, Proud by Heather Small.
Oh, yes.
And somebody did a different visual to it than the official video.
Oh,
and
really?
It's from different pride parades and different
cool.
Very, very beautiful one. Today's video I put up there was very different.
Here we go.
It is a Bieber Shop Quartet.
A what?
A Bieber Shop Quartet. Four lesbians that look like Justin Bieber.
And yes, I watched it earlier, and oh my God.
Performing a
that's
barbershop
funny.
Song about Bieber. it's a British, the BBC did this, and it's something different to see. And, you know, we've teased in the back in the past about the one website, Lesbians That Look Like Bieber.
Yeah.
And these four women...
They fit the bill.
They do have quite an uncanny resemblance.
Mm.
And
I'm sorry.
But, yeah, where else can you have a thing coming for the BBC that features the line strap-ons?
There you go.
Yeah.
So, check out that over on Facebook. You can join us on our Facebook page, and you'll get little updates on stuff like that. And when we see other cutesy stuff, we'll have to pull it up there. I don't think you saw it.
No.
We have unicorn names now.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
We did a... there's a
yeah.
A unicorn name generator.
I didn't like my name.
Yeah. Well, you're related to Vincent, by the way. You two have the same surname.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had to.
I saw that whole conversation too. Yeah. That was very
Vincent?
Disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah. Supposedly you two are related somehow.
Well,
you're his unicorn. You're his unicorn godfather or grandfather
or something like that.
Let's do the PSA's top of the hour. Theater Suburbia is waiting in the wings.
Hi, you've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello. This is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can, please call me back.
Hello, my name is Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello, this is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Mm-hmm.
the course of a meteoric music career that spanned the turbulent decades of the 60s and 70s, Phil Oakes sought the bright lights of fame and social justice in equal measure, a contradiction that eventually tore him apart. The Houston premiere of the film, Phil Oakes, There But For Fortune, traces the arc of Oakes' life, which paralleled that of the times. How the anger, satire, and righteous indignation that drove his music also drove him to dark despair. The documentary features interview and performance footage of Oakes, along with commentary by Joan Baez, Pete Seeger, Sean Penn, and others. Phil Oakes, There But For Fortune, will screen at the Brown Auditorium Theater at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston, June 30th to July 4th. More information at www.mfah.org/films or call 713-639-7515 or visit us on Facebook under Films at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston.
And you are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, someone said I was saying it too fast. It's like, why even say it if you're going to say it that fast? You can't understand it, so I was able to slow it down some.
Did you still do it in one breath?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention to that part.
It's After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and we have here with us Theater Suburbia.
And I have to catch my breath after he does that. I'm always breathless when Chris finishes that. It's like, how does he do it? Anyway, yes, Theater Suburbia is here this evening. We have a beautiful crowd, and they didn't leave when the cyclists came in, so I'm very pleased. You know how that goes. And we have President Elvin with us as well. So, who's the spokesperson for this motley crew? Hi, Judith.
Hi, Judy.
How's it going?
Oh, tell just us, peachy
we have,
keen.
We have Murder at the Howard Johnson's. Is that the name of the... I have not seen this one yet, so...
Murder at the Howard Johnson's.
A killer comedy, huh?
It is a killer comedy. It's
heard.
A farce.
Isn't everything in life?
Do you want to tell when it's running and all of that? Or
no, you tell when it's running. Okay.
Tell you when it's running. It opened on June the 3rd and runs through July the 2nd. Friday and Saturdays at 8:30. Our Sunday matinees are June 19th and 26th at 3 o'clock.
All right. And where is this located?
This is located at 4106 Way Out West, which is near the intersection of 43rd Street and Old Hempstead Highway.
And I can tell you, if I can find a place, anybody can.
It's
we all know that. How do we contact you?
You can contact us either by telephone at 713-682-3525, or you can check out our website at theatersuburbia.org.
That's theatre.
Theatresuburbia.org.
You take prompting very well. That's
thank you.
You're such a good actor.
Thank you.
Yes.
Such a good actor, right? That'll be the day.
I've seen you on stage. I think I'm one of the few in this room who has, actually.
Under duress.
Under
only.
Duress only, yes. It's many times with a book in your hand.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
This is a very funny show. The director, Paul Hager, couldn't be here tonight. He had other obligations.
He's in Galveston with all those fun people at Lafitte.
Oh,
Lafitte.
He's at Lafitte.
Yeah, Stars and Third Coast.
Well, tell everybody I know hi, Paul.
Yeah.
Have fun, Paul.
Mm-hmm. So, do you guys want to introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about what you're doing?
Sure. My name is Suzanne King, and I'm playing Arlene, the woman in the play. That's right. I am playing a woman, believe it or not.
Wow.
That's a stretch.
Talk about
typecasting. I know. So, basically, the play takes place in 1979. And over a year span, so we have three scenes. The first scene is Christmas of, I would say, 1978, and then the second scene is 4th of July, and then the final scene is New Year's Eve. So it's like every 6 months or so that we visit these people. And I'm playing Arlene, and she is a woman who is trying to find herself, you know, those good times in the 70s, trying to figure out where she fits in life. She's been married for a long time, and, you know, the play's all about her.
Of course. Yeah.
And I'm Bob Galley. I'm playing Dr. Mitchell Level DDS. So, you know, technically a dentist, but he kind of puts on airs like he's a doctor. He's the ladies' man type because he has already what's the word, brought or seduced Arlene. And so I'm sort of like the catalyst for the things to start.
Hmm. Well, I'm Mike McDermott, and I play the lovely spouse of Arlene, Mr. Paul Miller. And Paul is sort of like your hapless, sort of stuck-in-the-mud kind of guy who didn't get out of the 60s, and or actually the conservative part of the 60s, not the hippie part of the 60s. And he comes to this play with sort of like a very stodgy, sort of stuck-in-the-mud kind of way. He's dull in many ways.
You know what might help his whole life is if he, like, I don't know, grew a beard or mustache or something.
I know you've been missing that, haven't you?
I have. Did like that facial hair.
It's coming back. It'll be back this summer.
All right. Sounds good.
My wife appreciates that, too.
Yeah, I'll bet she does. And Judith, you're here just, what, fluff? Or you actually you had a part in getting this on stage. Come on, girl.
Well, I'm the assistant director to Paul. I didn't really have a whole lot to do because Paul is so knowledgeable about this show. He was in the show back in the 70s at Theater Suburbia. He's produced it all over Houston and Galveston for many years in various venues. He knows the show so well that he didn't even need to look at the script. He knew all the lines. It was really hard for the characters to paraphrase anything because Paul knew instantly whether they were saying them right. But Paul was instrumental in getting the directors to approve including this show in our 50th season because he was so fond of it, and it really is a hilarious show. So
it's kind of sitcom-y, you know?
Yeah.
Good sitcoms from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So are y'all going to endear the show to our hearts by giving us a couple of little scenes?
Sure, we'll sing a few bars for you.
That'll work.
This first scene deals with Arlene and Mitchell, and this comes in the beginning of the play, and Arlene and Mitchell right now are going to be discussing about how they're going to handle Paul in this particular scene. So, guys, go ahead.
Okay. I used to love him. I think I used to love him more than he loved me. Then suddenly things started to reverse themselves. I found myself being loved more than I can love in return. Do you have any idea what it's like being loved more than you could possibly love in return?
Of course I do.
It drives you crazy. So you force yourself to love that person more than you do. And before you know it, you hate him for putting you through all this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Thoroughly. God, when you two first came into my office to have your teeth checked, I would have sworn you were the happiest couple on earth.
When I met Paul Miller, I was young. I was foolish. I was innocent. But then I started reading. At first newspapers, then magazines, and suddenly, before I knew it, books. Little by little, I outgrew him. He went to the right, I went to the left. He went in, I went out. I went up, he went down. I went here, he went there.
I couldn't live with a man like that.
Yet he tried his best. He gave me everything. A house, furniture, clothing, silverware. I have 5 watches.
No one needs 5 watches.
No, of course not. Oh, sure, Paul and I were happy, at first. I didn't know any better. My eyes were still closed. I hadn't awakened as a person yet. And then, when I met you, the whole thing really crystallized. I wasn't the same girl that Paul had slept with thousands and thousands and thousands of times.
Arlene, I don't want to hear numbers.
Mitchell, he still is my husband.
Well, all that's going to change today.
And scene.
Well, that sounded relatively friendly.
Yes, it is. It's a friendly show.
Thousands and thousands and thousands,
thousands of times.
I must have been pretty good.
Amen.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
I'm adding that on my fingers in the number of years you've been married. It's like, she must be tired.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway, I'm sorry. I digress.
That's okay.
Yep. So now we're going to jump ahead just over 6 months. And
as soon as she finds her place.
As soon as she does. And this will be the 4th of July. And we have our place?
I think
we're
so.
Hungry.
Okay.
No,
so, for this, there's been a, I'm going to call it just a tiff. And Arlene's called gone back to the Howard Johnsons, called Mitchell, and Paul has shown up.
Dum, dum, dum.
Dum, dum, dum.
Okay.
Mitchell won't be getting anything tonight. There's
a okay. Paul, do you still love me?
How's that?
Do you still love me? I would like to go out knowing someone still loves me.
Do I still love you? Do I still love you? Arlene, that's my life loving you. I never stopped loving you. Even last December when you drowned me, I never stopped loving you.
Oh, poor Paul, how I must have hurt you. I'm a rotten person. I deserve to die.
No, no, Arlene.
Do you want to know my plan? I'm going to take a bottle of sleeping pills, sit on the windowsill, and stab myself.
That's a good plan. Yeah, that would work.
I didn't want to take any chances. Oh, Paul, isn't life strange the way it takes so many twists and turns? It's like a roller coaster. You're up, you're down, you veer to the right, you veer to the left, you hope to God you don't fall out.
Hey, that's what I'm studying in school.
You're going to school?
Two nights a week. I know one of the reasons why you left me was because you thought I was shallow. I'm not shallow anymore, Arlene. You know what I'm doing? I'm taking a self-realization course.
Yeah, I'm very impressed.
I've got a terrific teacher. You should meet him. You'd love him. His name is Malcolm Dewey. He's only 25 years old and very short, but he seems to know everything. You'd never kill yourself if you met Malcolm Dewey. I swear, Arlene, I'm now able to grasp the meaning of life and in only 1 month.
That must be so encouraging.
He sums up his whole philosophy in two words. Me first. If you're good to yourself, you're good to the world. A truly healthy, selfish person would never commit suicide. Oh, repeat after me. A truly healthy, selfish person would never commit suicide.
A truly healthy, selfish person would never commit suicide. There's no coleslaw.
Another shaft. Next week, we go on to physical awareness. He actually gets you to talk to parts of your body. It's great for lonely people. Hello, hand. Hello, elbow. Hello, knees.
That's fascinating. They didn't give you any napkins.
Another chef.
I've got Kleenex.
I'm a changed man, Arlene. I even stopped drinking.
I didn't know you started.
Yeah, for a while there, I was going through a case of beer a day trying to forget you.
It's a wonder you didn't put on any weight.
I cut out potatoes.
You love potatoes.
Yes, but potatoes don't help you to forget. So it's over.
Isn't that the end?
Yes, and scene.
Oh, thank you.
You gotta come to the play to catch the rest of that one.
All right.
It's okay. Over.
And then our last scene will be from the New Year's Eve. And this is between Mitchell and Paul. And basically, Arlene is kind of, you know, done with both of them and has moved on. And now they're getting together to kind of plot and scheme.
Yeah.
And build.
And build. Yes.
If only I could forget her. If only I could get Arlene out of my mind. I never thought she'd leave me, Paul.
She's very good at leaving people.
What I did for that woman. I changed my whole way of life for her. Except for that time with Judy, I cut out all of the women.
I cut out potatoes.
I bought her anything she wanted. You know what I got her for her birthday? A grandfather clock.
Did she like it?
I guess so. She took it with her when she left. God, what I did for her, Paul. I idolized her. I worshipped her. My whole life was for her. Why would she leave me, Paul? Why?
Can I be truthful?
Sure.
Now, I don't mean to criticize or anything, but you're a bit of a baby. A little baby.
Maybe you're right. I was so depressed. I tried everything to forget her. I even went on a Caribbean cruise. 7 days and 7 nights all alone. I never left my cabin once.
Well, you need more than 7 days and 7 nights to forget Arlene. Not bad.
Before I met Arlene, I wasn't a complicated person. Now I go to group therapy 5 nights a week. Saturdays and Sundays, I'm lost.
That whore.
That bitch.
That slut.
And scene. Mm.
Yeah. All right.
They're mean.
Yes. Oh, the phone's ringing. Maybe somebody likes what you're doing.
Uh-oh.
Or not. Or maybe Wes is ignoring it. I don't know. Hello. I can't answer it in here. Well, it sounds funny. I mean, I was like, I know the play, so I can't really say that. But yeah. I do plan to see it next weekend, if at all possible.
Yeah,
so
I hope
you can.
I'm
very excited about that. I was going to make preview, and it's like, okay. Oh, It's 9:30 on Thursday. Guess I won't make previews.
Well, I'm really glad you didn't, because it was not a good show for me. So,
well, if it wasn't a good show for you, I'm so glad I wasn't there.
I know.
Yeah,
but now we've like ironed it all out.
Mm-hmm. So we were going to do opening. I thought, didn't make reservations, but I'll give it a shot. I'll call. And then something came up and it was like, okay, Jimmy, guess we won't go tonight. So it was okay.
Well, I certainly hope you
can
make it out.
The 30th anniversary of somebody. So things keep getting in the way. And it's like, you know what? We can't keep things in the way. We have to go see it.
Exactly.
So we're shooting for next Friday.
We hope you all come out, listeners out there, to come out and see it too, because this has got to be one of the funniest plays I've ever done.
And y'all are the only three people in it. So sometimes a small cast and a funny, you know, dialogue can just rip you out of your seats.
Yeah.
You have 10, 20, 30, 40 people on stage and they've all got funny lines. You're so busy laughing you don't hear them. seriously. But if you got three people, you got this ear cocked towards the, so you want to hear everything. So it's very exciting. So what are your run dates again? Someone?
We're Fridays and Saturdays at 8:30. Okay. And then Sunday the 19th and Sunday the 26th is our matinees. That'll be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. And y'all are a 501c3, so you're free to tell me how much tickets cost.
Tickets are $14 for adults, $13 for students and seniors. Sunday matinees, all tickets are $12. It runs through July the 2nd. And as always, mention KPFT and After Hours and get 2-for-1 on the tickets.
There you go. Such a deal. You can't beat a deal like that, 2-for-1. Tickets. Come on. Take your wife. You can afford to drop a Jack in the Box on the way. I think. I don't know. I haven't been a Jack in the Box in years.
Maybe I haven't either. But.
And how do we get in touch with Doris again?
Theater number is 713-682-3525.
I love it. After 35, 40 years, you still have to look at the paper to read it.
Want to make sure we get it right.
It's numbers. I work with those, you know.
I forgot.
And that is a 24/7 answering
machine.
Type
thing.
Voicemail. Voicemail. Thank you. Something.
One of those.
You can make reservations anytime.
There you go.
At that number.
There you go.
And
you also have a website?
We have a website, theatersuburbia.org, theatre.
Yeah.
I don't have to look at that, but I have to slow down to spell it.
Okay. Wait.
4106 Way Out West, located near West 43rd Street and Old Hempstead Highway.
Very easy to find. Little triangle there. Not a problem. Lots of parking.
New sign up on the building.
See, that's worth coming and looking at anyway. So, can't beat it. You're like, what? Maybe it was there before and I forgot.
No.
I was just
thinking I might like to mention what's coming up.
You go, girl.
Okay.
Feel free.
Well, after this show closes, comes our summer melodrama. And this year we're doing the return of Who Was That Masked Man, which is always a lot of fun.
Is Doris already doing the popcorn?
Doris is already ready to roll with that one. But that ends our 50th season, and we are rolling into our 51st season, and we are ready to announce the season.
Well,
so
I
may
can't
I?
Wait. Absolutely. And you heard it first here, right?
I think so.
I haven't heard it yet.
I haven't heard it either. It's the very first time. This is a world premiere.
Well, if you stop talking and listen, you'll probably hear it.
Wow. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We're going to open the season with a bittersweet comedy called Texas Romance.
I think somebody
I know is going to be directing that.
Why don't you show up for that one? Y'all can all show up for it too if you want to.
Yes. It's a really nice play. I told Judy it's one that I wanted to direct.
Pretty typical of us.
Yes.
Picking plays.
We're going to move from Texas Romance into our holiday show, which is Dear Santa.
I think somebody in this room is directing that, too.
Yeah, because they didn't get to direct Texas Romance.
We could share both of them.
Somebody asked me what it was, and I said it has a lot of elves. I don't know. It's Christmas, mutant elves, something.
Hey, schmaltz in red. What do you want?
There you go. Right. Mm-hmm. The calendar new year will start off with Deadly Murder, which is an exciting thriller.
And somebody in this room is directing that, too.
God, it's like
wow.
How
did we not get into this?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
We need somebody on stage.
After Deadly Murder, we're going to do a play called Play On, and Laura Schlecht is going to direct that. Then we will move into First Baptist of Ivy Gap.
We're doing it.
We're doing it.
Okay.
And Doris is going to do that show. It's a really neat show. It's a little different, but it's really neat. And we're going to wrap up the regular season with The Psychic, and Lee Raymond is going to direct that. And it's a very funny little...
Diddy.
Thank you.
Or play.
There we go. Thank you.
Well, that's actually... Diddy covers that one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it really does.
I think we're excited. Right. I believe that all of these will be Houston premieres.
Wow.
So we're back into that mode for a while.
Okay, that works.
But again, Theater Suburbia, 4106 Way Out West, near the intersection of 43rd and Old Hempstead. Telephone number is 713-682-3525. Murder at the Howard Johnson's runs through July the 2nd, Friday and Saturday evenings at 8:30, Sunday matinees June the 19th and 26th at 3 o'clock.
And all of your plays are very special in that if you go to opening night, don't you get like a little complimentary champagne before the show?
That you do.
You can stay for the party after the show.
That you can.
We have another party on closing night, too.
Closing night, you have another party, so...
We're just partying animals.
Party down. That's right. You know, that's a fun space to party in.
It is. It is. We're very proud of our new space.
Yeah. It's a nice space to have, so... And good parking. I like the parking. The old location is like you were taking your life in your hands to drive through that parking lot at night because you never knew when your car was going to get lost in a hole.
Yeah.
And you were going to have to be towed out of it.
That's what happened to those people.
That Volkswagen, it's still in there.
Oh, gosh.
They built a bank around it.
And as always, mention KPFT and Jimmy and After Hours, and it's 2-for-1 tickets.
Or any of the above. Yeah. Yeah, so as long as they know you're paying attention.
Bring Doris Bribes and you get 2-for-1 tickets. I don't know. Whatever works for you.
You can bring Merlin up and Doris will give you tickets.
That's probably true.
It's just one of those things. So, and we missed her this evening. She's usually here.
She had a wedding.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, party.
But you know what's interesting about that is Doris isn't here and Elvin finally after a week. Do you know how many years we've been doing this?
Six.
Too long, too many.
Twice that.
12?
Almost, yeah. 11 years. We're going into our...
Oh, I guess I have been doing this 15 years. And
excuse me.
Yes, you have.
I'm old. Yeah. Actually, because we started, this was my first play.
You were going with that I'm talking? Is that it?
Yes. Elvin's talking on the mic. He's not standing in the back yelling, so maybe we might be able to hear him whisper. And it didn't hurt.
Oh, yes, it did.
But you had your book in your hand, so that's okay. Yeah, you can have cheat sheets on the radio.
As long as I don't have to listen to it, it's okay.
You don't have to listen to it. However, if anyone else wants to listen to it, any of your friends, actors, the director, anybody at all, they can tune into KPFT on the web. It's .org, isn't it?
KPFT.org.
.org. And it's archived there for 30 days, so they can hear this
actually
broadcast.
I think they shortened that now.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty rude, but if they can't get to it in 30 days, they can listen to it on GCAM for life. We archive all the shows.
Awesome.
So anytime you want to pick up one of your broadcasts, your little segments, you can go to GCAM.org and you can look it up, and there you have it. Oh, you really kind of have to have the date or the show name or whatever, but hey, whatever works.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned that I don't want to hear myself, and you immediately go into this spiel of how to hear myself.
Great segue. Thank you very much, Elvin. Appreciate that. Everyone except Elvin.
I get no respect.
And this is News House?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. And everyone except Elvin can go do that whenever they want to. So, how exciting. Well, thank you all for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judy.
Mrs.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And wherever
he's not in there,
I'm sure he's out there sucking on a fag, or smoking a cigarette, whatever.
One or the other.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom. We're just full of them tonight.
Yeah, we're over four something anyway.
Wow.
So anyway, but thank you for being here. I know I've enjoyed it, and I do plan to see the show very soon. With three people in a cast, they'll definitely know if we were not in the audience.
Yes, we will.
Well, not so much me. I'm blind through most of the show.
I forget that.
I get to wear my glasses a couple times, though.
Wow, okay.
When I'm sticking instruments.
Sticking in stuff in my teeth, in my mouth, yeah.
Excuse me? What?
Hammering.
Yeah.
I'm not going
there. That doesn't get you to the play. Nothing will. Okay?
And Bob gets to be in his little boxer shorts, too. So
oh, yeah.
You get to see Bob in his boxer shorts.
Anytime, you know, boxer shorts is a great excuse to come out and see a play.
Yeah, let's just mention all the things that they're going
to
be.
I'm just glad to see him back on the stage. I haven't seen him in so long on that stage. So
yeah, I know.
I know he's been around recently, but I mean.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know. Glad to have him back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. You have some music to march us out of here?
I sure do. I'm going to go ahead and shut off y'all's mics. And we're going to put a little music in your ear. And after this next song, we'll have Daddy Bear Robert T. and Master Buzz Lawson up with Leather Ties. So we'll be back in a few.
I don't speak German, but I can if you like.
Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich glaube, die Mutter muss der ausgemiegt fragen, wie kann mich ausgebaut werden. Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich komme mit auf dem Monster. Ausgemiegt flauten, Fräulein, wie schon be clear. Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich glaube, die Mutter muss der ausgemiegt fragen, wie kann mich ausgebaut werden. Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich komme mit auf dem Monster. Ausgemiegt flauten, Fräulein, wie schon be clear. Ich bin auch zu wie klar, es gibt den Mann, der muss der Ausgleich laden, wie kann die ausgebaut werden? Ich bin auch zu wie klar, es kommt ein Schuster, muss der Ausgleich laden, Fräulein, wie schon wie klar.
I'll take you out tonight, so whatever you like. Scheiße, scheiße, be mine, scheiße, be mine. Put on a show tonight, do whatever you like. Scheiße, scheiße, be mine, scheiße, be mine.
When I'm on a mission, I rebuke my condition. If you're a strong female, you don't need permission.
I wish that I could say it, not a single thing. I wish I could be strong when I'm somebody there. I wish that I could say it, not a single thing. I wish I could be strong when I'm the champion. When I'm the champion. When I'm the champion.
Love is objectified by what men say is right. Shazza, be mine, bullshit be mine. Blonde high heels, feminist, and let's sing fun for this. Accept your womankind, fight for your rights.
When I'm on a mission, I rebuke my condition. If you're a strong female, you don't need permission.
Okay, I got to say, I like these headphones. Thank you. These
are
good
too.
Headphones. These are comfortable. You can hear properly. They're great. Welcome to After
fit.
Hours, KPFT 90.1.
Yeah, what he said.
89.5 in Galveston. We love you. Welcome to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert, along with my co-host, Master Buzz Lawson.
Well, hello there. And we, well, that was the love, that song we just heard was the love child of Elton John and RuPaul. Yes, that was Lady Gaga. That was off her new CD, Born This Way. That was track number.
Are you sure it isn't something they had to wipe after delivering?
No, no. Well, I don't know. Well, I said Elton John and RuPaul, not Elton John and Madonna. So.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they did have to wipe after delivering.
Although some of the songs on there, she actually does kind of sound like the early Madonna. She's got that kind of nasally tinny voice to her, and I don't know if that's like auto-tune or if that's really her voice.
Which only goes to support what I've been saying all along, that she's just a really bad Madonna knockoff.
Well, actually, well, she's a very good Madonna
knockoff.
All I
know is this picture scares me.
No, I like the cover picture because she looks like that if you get your wank anywhere near her, she's gonna bite it off.
All right, I thought that scared me until I saw that one.
No, wait, open it up and look at the jacket.
Oh, the one
look
where she's
on the motorcycle?
The back half of her is a motorcycle?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, open it up and actually look at the pictures in the jacket.
Oh, my God.
What is that bladder dress thing? I don't know what that is.
What in the holy living...
No, now, take that out and flip the next picture. The second to the last picture in that booklet should have been the cover. That is a cool-ass picture. That looks like something Mapplethorpe would do.
Yeah, I have to agree on that one.
That should have been the cover of the album. She should have left the red lips, you know, wherever, for the inside picture.
It looks like she was... birthed in this picture.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
But she's again, a partial birth something.
Yeah, but then again, Michael Jackson had his hyperbaric chamber. She's got her egg. I mean, you know.
Of course, these two look like a bad Britney Spears picture.
Yeah, I know. Britney Spears before the bleach.
Well,
yeah.
Then here's another one.
No, I think the cover of her new album is a ripoff of Christine W's, her second album, but that's just me.
That's just scary.
Yeah, the bladder dress just freaks me out.
I've seen better performance art on the streets of L.A. Thank you.
This looks like a bunch of pennies all run together.
They're not pennies. They're probably used condoms. Oh, sorry. Buzz was drinking. Coffee out the nose.
Nope. You still haven't got the timing down on that yet.
Damn, I got you once about 6 years ago where you had beer come out your nose, but that was the only time.
That was on one of our Sunday pool.
Yeah, when we were beering and shooting pool, and yeah. I don't even remember what the hell I said, but you shot beer at your nose. That was so funny.
Kind of, we're always laughing about something. So.
Yeah, we're leather people, and we laugh and have a good time.
Oh, right.
Scary, isn't it?
Right. So Kirby and I have actually been told, you guys can't be leather. Well, why? We're always laughing. Yeah. And let me ask you, do you not enjoy the life you're living?
Yeah.
And if not... why not?
Yeah.
Because if you're not enjoying the life you're living, whose life are you living anyway?
Exactly. We enjoy the life we're living.
Oh, yeah. So. We do a lot of laughing.
Speaking of life we're living, June is GLBT Gay Pride Month.
Woohoo!
Gay Pride History and Gay Pride Month. And I hear a lot of young people, and when I say young people, I mean anybody under like 35, complaining that the Pride Parade is in June and it's too damn hot and they need to change it.
Oh, poor babies.
So, let me explain to you people real quick in like one sentence why the Pride Month is June and why our parade is in June. The Stonewall Riots, the birth of the gay liberation movement and gay rights movement.
June 29th, 1969.
That is why. The Stonewall Riots began June 28th at like 11:50, June 29th, so that is why Pride is in June.
I don't have my glasses,
so
I can't read that.
You know what? If drag queens can get out there and fight the cops in the middle of the summer, we can get out there and dance in our G-strings. So I don't want to hear any more complaining about the Pride Parade being in June and it's too hot. What
Kirby, I just read your recent status, and yes, you're right.
What do you say?
He said, my brother's an idiot.
And yes, I did play that last song, that very first song.
Oh, I'm not going to comment on that one.
Yeah, I played that first song for Kirby specifically because it had some German in it, and I wanted him to really get off on that song and then shock the hell out of him by saying it was Lady Gaga, because I know he probably kind of liked it, although he'll never admit it. Unless he's in a bar closing a tab, sitting in the corner singing Madonna and saying he hates Madonna, but we're not going to get into that, are we?
Hi, Kirby, by the way.
Hi, Molly.
So, with all of the...
Now my dog's going nuts.
Yeah, now your dog is going nuts. So, with all the events and anniversaries and leather contests and play parties going on in the summer, I thought it might be interesting and better for us to just kind of go over some fetish play, some safe ways of playing, some do's, some don'ts, and the aftercare that needs to be provided. So when you do go to a leather conference or a play party or whatever you're doing, you know what to expect, you know how to play safely, you know what to watch out for, and you know how to take care of yourself or take care of somebody else after you play.
Know what you're doing or don't do it.
Yes, and know the consequences of what you're doing.
Like I say, know what you're doing or don't do it.
Yeah. So, let's
start.
And if
you don't know what you're doing, stand 6 feet away.
Well, yeah, if you don't know what
exactly.
you're doing. Well, number one, if you don't know what you're doing with a fetish scene, then why not just sit down and watch?
Yeah, stand well back and observe.
And when a scene is done, ask them if they've got time to sit down and talk to you about this. When they are done flying from their endorphins, say, talk to me about this. I want to learn. Don't jump. Don't grab a flogger. Or don't grab a candle and start melting wax on people or beating somebody if you don't know what
and
you're doing.
And just because the action is over, it doesn't mean that either person involved is ready to talk to
right.
anybody.
It doesn't mean the scene is over.
Give them the opportunity to do the aftercare they need. When they are ready to greet other people again, you will know it.
They will come and start talking to people. So, with that said, we're going to start with something, dispel some rumors again.
Oh, boy.
On something easy.
Oh, what are they saying about me now?
Everything.
Oh, yeah. And it's all true.
He's saying they're all just saying that your cherry is faded. And I'm talking about the cherry tattoo he's got. So he needs to re-ink his cherries. They're not red anymore.
whatever evil things people may say about me, pay no attention. The truth is worse.
Yes, the truth is much worse. Trust me on that one.
Didn't I see a button about that the other day? Oh, no, that was a status on Facebook.
Yeah, that was Kirby.
Yeah. So let's dispel some myths and rumors about wax. Let's start with that, because wax play is something that's very popular. It's very dramatic to watch, and it actually feels really good when you're having it done, and it feels really good
if
when
it's
you're
done right.
doing it to somebody, if you're doing it right. So, with wax,
it is acceptable to use any and all types of candles, but you know what kind of candle you're using, because it is not acceptable to use all types of candles in the same way.
Correct. So, here's myth number one. Never use scented candles. The oils in a scented candle make them burn much hotter than unscented candles, and they'll burn and blister the skin.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes, this is true.
If you're holding it right over the skin.
The fact that you can never use them is false. What you need to understand is the candle type you are using, whether it's an oil-based candle, beeswax, if it's just a regular paraffin wax candle, or if you're using beauty school, I call it beauty school wax, it's stuff they use to do a bikini wax. Know what type of wax you're using, the melting point of that wax. Unscented candles melt around 102 to 104 degrees. That's about the temperature of a hot tub. So you can get a little bit closer, about 4 or 5 inches from the skin, and drip wax, and it's not going to blister or burn. Scented candles melt higher because it takes more heat to melt the oil and heat up the oil in a scented candle. They burn at about 106 degrees. Hold the candle higher. It's that simple.
And honestly, starting out with wax play, if you've never done it and you want to try it, starting out, you can actually save a lot of money and get a lot of practice in. The easiest and safest candles to use are storm candles.
Yes,
they are unscented, plain paraffin candles.
Paraffin wax is really great to play with. And what I will say is, if you are going to top in a wax situation, if you're going to get into wax play, put on a pair of shorts, sit down, and drip a candle on your leg. That way you know what it feels like. That way you know how high or how low you need to go with that candle.
Oh, go for your upper thigh where it's real sensitive because that's what you're going to be dealing with.
Right. It is that type of sensitivity. If you don't know what it feels like, I mean, if you trip a candle 1 inch from somebody's body, I don't care what you're using, you're going to blister the skin.
Yeah, get it real close to the treasure because you know you're not going to hurt yourself.
And honestly, the best way to start playing with candle wax is, or with playing wax in general, start about 8 to 10 inches above the skin, above the area you're dripping. Get a little closer and a little closer until you find the point where it's a nice tingle, it's a nice heat, but it's not burning or blistering the skin.
It is not wise to drip wax onto hairy areas.
We'll get to that, though, because I'll give you some secrets on that. Being we're both hairy people, so
my back is not hairy.
No, your back is not hairy, but your chest is hairy.
Yes.
So
ain't nobody dripping no wax on my front.
And I have
this
actually,
it's going to stay right where it is.
I have had my legs fused together in a. You remember that, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
They were trying to do. It was 4th of July weekend, and we were out at the Ripcord when we were doing a waxing. They were trying to do the American flag on my body with wax, and all the colors kind of melted together, so the red, white, and blue kind of turned into a lavender purple, and I looked like I had leprosy.
You had some kind of a strange disease.
Well, the sad thing is, while this was going on, I had boot black doing my boots, and I had my legs crossed, and they fused my legs together, and I didn't know it, and I have really hairy legs. So, and then the boot black said, I'm done, and he pulls my legs apart real fast. Like, oh, you bastard. So, anyway, we'll get to getting wax out of the hair. Another big thing, like I mentioned earlier, beeswax. Yes, they say beeswax, never use it because it's too high of a temperature.
Yeah, it burns hot.
Melting point. Yeah, it is. That's why beeswax candles last so long. That's why they're so expensive. Beeswax candles can be used if you've got money to burn, literally, because they are a lot more expensive than a paraffin candle. But, again,
you have to hold them pretty high off the body in order to keep from burning somebody.
Right. Whereas a regular paraffin wax candle, the storm candles that Buzz mentioned, they burn, like I said, about the temperature of a hot tub, 102 to 104 degrees. You can get a 12-pack for like a dollar at the dollar store. I mean,
They come in 3-packs, and it's like $1, $1.50.
Yeah. Oil-scented candles burn around 106.
Don't use votives. No. They burn up too quickly.
Yeah.
Tapers are much more dramatic.
Yeah, tapers are dramatic, but, I was going to say, we'll get there, hold on. But beeswax candles, whereas, a regular paraffin melts around 104, oils melt around 106, beeswax, about 112 degrees, which is much hotter than what anybody is probably used to. So, while you can use beeswax candles, you need to keep the candle high enough up off the skin.
Okay, the principle behind that is,
as the wax drips off
the candle, as it's going through the air, the wax begins to cool. Now, a candle that burns at a low temperature, you can hold closer to the skin because it doesn't need that much time or that much air to cool so that it's not blistering the skin. The hotter the candle, the higher off the body you need to hold the candle.
Right. And the purpose of this scene is not to permanently damage somebody.
Okay. We don't want to harm you.
Exactly. That is the mantra tonight. We want to hurt you, but we don't want to harm you.
Hurting you is fun for me and for you. Harming you is not fun for either of us.
Now, something Buzz just mentioned. Votive candles, tea light candles. They say, ooh, don't use those. They can cause permanent scarring. Yeah, they can, if you leave the metal on them.
Hello.
Dumbass. Take them out of the metal tin. Or, like, with a votive candle, it's got the little metal tab on the bottom to hold the wick in place.
Oh, those things. I actually had one of those snap an ashtray, a glass ashtray. One of those, a votive in an ashtray.
Uh-huh.
It burned down and cracked the ashtray.
Yeah, that little metal square at the bottom that holds the wick in gets so hot, it can crack glass. Cut the damn thing off. It's that simple. Now, there are ways to play with votive and tea light candles, and one of my favorite things to do...
Cupping.
Well, cupping is wonderful. For those of you who don't know what cupping is when you actually take it... And I don't normally use candles for this. I normally use just, like, a cotton swab on a pad.
But, well, you can put a tea light candle down and put, like, the little glass globe that the decorator candles come in, clean that all out.
Yeah.
And a votive candle on the back and turn that upside down over it.
Little tea light candle holders, or just get a cup. And what I like to do is get the cute little votive cups that come in different shapes, like stars and moons and stuff. That way, when you do it, you get all kinds of cool shapes on their body.
Yeah.
Kirby, that is evil. I would say something, but we'll get fined for it, even if I say it in German. But...
Oh!
Shame on you, boy.
Yeah. I would say it in another language, but we'll still get fined. So I can't say it in French, German, or Russian, so never mind. Or Spanish, so especially not in Spanish, not in this town. Too many people speak Spanish here.
When we take a break, you'll have to tell me what that
is. Yeah.
Das ist krank.
Yes.
I don't know what that said, but you'll have to tell me on the next break.
The closest thing I can say to Kirby that sounds disgusting, but it's really a very innocent word, is Ausfahrt. And that's German for exit.
Exit. Exit here.
Exit here. Ausfahrt.
Sounds like you just got some cheese or something.
When I was...
Yeah, and forgot to use a knife.
It was so funny because when we were running around Belgium and Germany and the Netherlands, I would tell Mark and Jacques, I was like, oh, we need to take this Ausfahrt. We need to take this Ausfahrt. And they said, it's Ausfahrt. And I said, no, well, it sounds just as disgusting. So what does it matter? Okay, just say exit. We speak English. I'm practicing my German. Ausfahrt. And just to tick them off. Okay, anyway.
Where were we?
Votive candles, tea light candles. The best thing to do, obviously, tea light candles come in those little metal tins, those little metal cups. Take them out of the metal cup. Duh. Not that hard. It's a no-brainer there. The metal will heat up and scar the skin. Take it out of the metal. Fun thing with them is to line them up on the body and do all kinds of cool patterns and let them slowly burn down and melt and drip. And tea light candles and votive candles normally are paraffins, so they burn very low. If you're going to get the votive candles, don't get the glade-scented things, okay? Just get regular unscented votive candles because they're just... They're much easier to use, and they don't stink up the place.
Honestly, votive candles, they just don't last long enough.
Well, what I like to do with them, and what I had mentioned at the top of talking about wax, was I call it beauty school wax. The paraffin that they use for doing, like, bikini waxes and things like waxing the mustache, all you need is to get a little one of those little potpourri crock pot things and put some of that wax in there. Go down to Sally's Beauty
Supply. Melt down the wax and then...
Yeah, go down like to Sally's Beauty Supply.
Like a gravy boat?
Yeah. And go down to Sally's Beauty Supply, get some paraffin wax for bikini waxing or mustache waxing or whatever you use it for.
101 uses for a neti pot.
Yeah, thank you. And throw it in one of those little crock pots and let it melt down. And a crock pot, especially like those little what they sell as potpourri crock pots, they don't get more than 104 degrees, which is the same as a candle. And so but it will melt this stuff. You can literally take a ladle and pour all kinds of beautiful designs on somebody, and while that wax is still warm, I like to put the votive or the tea light in that wax so it stays on the body and doesn't fall over. Because the minute a votive candle or a tea light, when the wax drips onto the body, it's going straight from the candle to the body, so it's a lot hotter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're getting hit with full force hot tub water there. So, people tend to, like, jerk or jump or spasm, and you don't want the candle tipping over and having the flame hit their body.
Right.
So, if you use a little bit of paraffin, or even if you drip the wax off of the candle in one spot and then put a tea light there, that wax will hold the candle in place so it doesn't shift if the bottom moves. But the cool thing about that stuff is you can use a little bit of food coloring and dye it all kinds of cool colors. So
one thing to keep in mind, no matter what kind of kinky play you get into, the first thing you need to be thinking about is, what am I doing? What am I doing it to? Be familiar with the part of the anatomy that you're going to be playing with and how it reacts, how to play safely in that area.
Yes.
Remember that you have that part of your body, too. What would you want somebody to do to yours, and how much can it take?
Right. But also keep in mind that everybody has their own pain threshold.
Right.
Everybody has their own level of tolerance. So
there's pretty much a line beyond which human skin is going to suffer damage.
Right.
So be aware of what it is you're doing and what you're doing it to.
Obviously,
start
the skin,
slow and build.
Obviously, the skin or in the genitals, you know, the scrotum, things like that, is going to be much more sensitive skin.
Clothespins.
Yeah, the underarms, places like that, they're highly sensitive. The skin is much more tender. You cannot put excessive heat on it like that.
I love my clothespins.
Be careful where you're playing and where you're dripping.
No clothespins for you.
Clothespins.
Clothespins are fun. What are you talking about? We'll get to clothespins.
Ultimate versatile toy.
Okay. So another big misconception is, well, I love wax play and candle play. It's a lot of fun, but I spend a fortune in freaking candles. No, you don't need to. You can't. No. They say, oh, you can't reuse the wax. Yes, you can.
Yeah, okay.
And
scrape it off, melt it down, stick another wick in it.
And all you got to do is scrape it down, get a double boiler that they use to make jam and jelly. You can get them in all different kinds of sizes. They're dirt cheap. God, you can get them at Kroger. But get a double boiler, a double pot, or just put them in a crock pot, like I said. Scrape off the wax when you're done playing your scene.
You don't want to get... When you're reforming the candle, though, you don't want to get the wax too hot.
But again, you don't necessarily have to reform the candle itself. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to take a candle workshop to learn how to make this stuff. All you've got to do is melt the wax down. Any debris, like body hair or anything, is going to float to the top.
Yeah, skim it.
Skim it, just like you would skim gravy. And then you've got your wax. It's already in a little crock pot.
See, I was telling you. Gravy boat.
Yeah. It's already in
a... Honey, have you seen the gravy boat?
It's in a great little crock pot. Put a lid on it.
It's in the dungeon.
No, really. Put a lid on it. Yeah, where is the crock pot? It's in the dungeon, honey. It's full of wax right now. Well, that's not going to make for a tasty stew. Damn, there goes my Jennie-O crock pot stew. Yeah, right.
Why does this stew taste like patchouli?
But and you can leave it in the crock pot. All you got to do when you're ready to play again, plug it back in and use the ladle or use the spoon, and you can still drip and play with the wax over and over again. I would say after three times, I would throw the wax away, but... Yeah. You can reuse wax, so don't think you have to go out and spend a fortune on candles to do this. If you want to go make a candle, do a candle making shop, I'm sure HCC, the community college, or some art school has a little course on making candles if you really are in the mood for that. But
Google it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You could Google it. What's the big deal? But making tapers is very different from pouring candle into like a little glass and putting a wick in it. So making tapers is a lot more involved than you think it is, and most people don't have the patience for that. So that's what I'm saying. Buy a crock pot.
It takes hours.
Yeah. So, Buzz said something about hairy people. So let's talk about hairy people, because I'm hairy, Buzz is hairy, and...
I am only ventrally hairy.
Ventrally hairy, yes.
You are ventrally and dorsally hairy.
Yes, I'm kind of hairy all over. Hairy
people. He is a G-O-rilla.
G-O... Yeah. Actually, I'm a blonde gorilla.
Yeah. Well, albino.
Yeah, I'm an albino. That's it. Ooh, yeah. What was that movie with the white apes? What was that stupid movie?
I don't know. I don't think I saw that one.
It was... I don't know.
Is that one of those that's so bad it's good?
Yeah.
It'll come around then, because there's a whole fad now.
From, like, God, back in the early 90s, there's some great ape.
We'll probably see it on Bubarella's show.
White apes. I don't know. Whatever. So, hairy people, I have wax stuck in my body hair. How the hell do I get it out without getting into blood sports? So, here's how you do this. All you need to do... Yeah, oh, see, you're hairy too. Yeah, good. So, listen to this one.
Bunch of fuzz buckets in here.
Yeah,
I am a member of the Houston Area Bears. Thank you very much.
Thank you, yeah. You're just as furry.
I'm too skinny to be a bear.
You're an otter.
You're an otter. No, I wouldn't even say he's an otter. He's a wolf.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm too old to be an otter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otters are generally younger. He's more of a wolf.
And to demonstrate how old I am...
And we know...
My birth certificate was chiseled into a slab of stone.
That's okay. Jimmy's was done in Sanskrit.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know Buzz is a wolf because you know... If you've, and I know you've been out bearing with him, round about 1:30 in the morning, he sees the moon, he starts howling.
Yep, I start howling at the moon.
Yeah, he's out there howling at the moon.
You know, usually I think I'm gone home by then.
Yeah, usually you are. We're the ones sitting out until 2 o'clock in the morning.
And I'd say he's a lightweight, except that he really does kind of have a long drive home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not
and
really
I do
fair
have to work
say
in
that
the
you're
mornings.
Lightweight.
Ew. So morning.
We'll pick a night where he's off the next day, and then we'll keep him out until 4 o'clock in the morning and see how he feels.
There you go.
What do you think I do every Saturday?
Okay.
Yeah, but you do it within crawling distance of home.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's cheating. Okay.
Saturday nights? I'm here till 4 a.m.
Oh. Well, you're not drinking, though.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Because there's no drinking at the radio station.
You've been up since 7:30, so this would be the perfect opportunity to get you absolutely trashed.
I'm already feeling trashed.
Yeah. Well, you're looking at two, so. Oh, he's going to cut my mic. Watch that.
Oh, no, he didn't. You didn't have to cut mine off. Oh, you didn't.
Yeah, he just cut. Oh, he cut off all the mics.
All but mine.
Turn my mic back on.
Okay, thank you for cutting off my mic.
While you say evil things about him, I make him laugh.
By saying evil things about him. Okay, so hairy people, here's how to get the wax off. Once the wax is, especially if you're using a harder wax or an oil wax. Oil wax is actually, with scented oil, easier to get off. I assume Kirby just texted something wicked.
Yes, more than likely.
So, in order to get wax off, what you do is you fill up
Marcel, watch this.
You fill up your bathtub with hot water.
I have to read this one. I'm sorry.
And soak in it.
I have to read this one. I'm sorry.
Fine, read it.
Okay, here's the deal. If you're going to play with wax, first rule, no F-bomb.
Okay.
I'll bring it over there so you can read it. And
I got it.
No, we got it. We got it. Thank you. Anybody listening is not going to understand that, but we got it.
Yeah.
So, if you're hairy and you're covered in wax, fill up the bathtub with hot water. Soak in the tub for about 10 or 15 minutes. It will heat up the wax and loosen it.
Yep.
Then all you got to do is take a washcloth or a sponge and wipe it off your body. Not that hard to do.
And be prepared to clean the wax ring out of your bathtub.
I was going to say, invest in a can of Ajax or Comet.
Right.
Not that liquid scrub stuff. You need the powder scrub
will leave a ring.
And if you're going to do it, when you get out of the tub, clean it immediately because the wax is a nightmare. If you don't clean it out of your tub, the wax is going to be on your tub for a while.
Look, I've already made somebody mad.
And now the best way to get the wax off your bathtub, go into the kitchen and get a plastic spatula and scrape. Or get a window scraper to scrape the ice off your windows of your car. Get one of those. You can scrape it off the bathtub without damaging the finish of your tub and having your landlord scream.
Right.
So, if the wax is still in your tub, even after you clean it, just get a window scraper, an ice scraper, and one of those plastic ice scrapers, and just scrape the tub. You'll peel off fabulous bits, really pretty sheets of wax, and that's it. That's how hard it is to get it out of your body. And if you've got it covered all over your back and you can't get it off, too bad. That's what a partner
sucks
is
to
for.
Be you.
You know what? Yeah, that's when you have somebody take a bath with you, and that's a whole fun scene all in itself.
Oh, yeah.
That can be a lot of fun aftercare, although you don't want to get in a hot tub right after you just had hot wax. Your skin is way
too sensitive. No. And that would really gum up the filters.
And if you want to understand how that feels, if you lay out in the sun and you get a sunburn, and then you jump in the shower the next morning and you forget you've got a sunburn going on, even cold water feels like it's burning your skin. That's what's going to happen. So, yeah. You want to get the wax off, wait until your body has cooled down and your body is not so sensitive.
So was I right?
And
no.
And that will get it off your body. So, if you do, and it does happen, playing with wax or any kind of fire play at all, you're running the risk of blistering the skin. So what happens when you blister the skin? You get a blister. Duh.
Yeah.
So, use a little dose of common sense, and...
Common sense isn't.
How would you... If you were cooking in the kitchen, you got a butter blister. Or if you're frying bacon and the grease spatters on you and you get a little blister, what are you going to do?
Don't put oil on it.
No, thank you. Take care of the blister the way you would take care of any other kind of blister. It's just that simple. Use ice. You're going to have an uncomfortable little bubble there until you get so pissed off at that little bubble of goo and wherever the blister is that you're going to pop it.
You push on it really hard until it bursts.
Yeah, until you pop it. Then you're going to bitch, moan, make owie noises, put on some burn cream, band-aid it, square up and down. You'll never, ever do this again. And then...
A week later, you'll be right back at it.
Set up your next play date for your next wax date. For your next wax date. Yeah.
You see, we know you.
Yeah, because we're the same way.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. Are we up for a station ID?
Yes, we are, actually.
Okay, let's do that. We're going to take a break for station ID, then come back. We're going to do a double shot of music, and then we'll come back with some more fetish play and some safe ways to play.
Hello, this is KPFT 90.1 Houston. And I'm Deloitte Parker, Executive Director of SHAPE Community Center. SHAPE, shaping history for the future. For over 33 years now, SHAPE has shaped history by actively working with issues important to all of us. The freeing of Nelson Mandela. The freeing of Clarence Brantley, death row inmate. The conviction and firing of the officers that killed Otto Delaney and Byron Gillum. Voter mobilization, anti-death penalty, police brutality cases, nutrition programs, legal clinics, cultural programs, all of these programs working to make life better for all of us today for tomorrow. For more information about SHAPE, call 713-521-0629. SHAPE Community Center, 713-521-0629. Thank you.
Mark your calendar. KPFT's Community Advisory Board has a meeting coming up. The KPFT Local Station Board and Community Advisory Board meetings are open to the public. KPFT's website lists the date, time, and location of these meetings, and all are invited to attend. All those interested in attending are requested to check out kpft.org under About KPFT and Board and Committees. Here's information on the upcoming Community Advisory Board meeting.
The next Community Advisory Board meeting is Tuesday, June 14th. At 7 p.m.
That meeting is scheduled to happen at KPFT Studios, 419 Lovett Boulevard. This is KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and listener sponsored commercial free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M. Just put your paws up, because you were born this way, baby.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends. Subway can rejoice the truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different law is not a sin. Believe capital H I M.
queen. Whether you're broke or evergreen, your black, white, face, chola descent, your Lebanese, your Orient. Whether life's disabilities left you outcast for leader teased, rejoice and love yourself today, cause baby, you were born this way. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, chola or Orient made, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to be brave.
Wait.
And welcome back to Leather Ties on After Hours KPFT. Yes, that was Lady Doodoo with Born This Way, and the song right after that on her album, Government Hooker.
We're back.
I played, and as much as I rail on Lady Doodoo, I played that song because I know it's Gay Pride Month, and I know that's going to be the theme song for every damn pride parade on in the planet this
year. You mean
year.
Lay Me, Gag Me?
Oh, I prefer Lady Kaka.
Lady Kaka. No, I like Lady Doodoo. It's more in your
I
face.
I call her Lay Me, Gag Me.
Lady Kaka. I mean, she's a Jap. She's not Spanish, so I wouldn't say call her Kaka. So, and for those who don't know what Jap is, she's a Jewish-American princess. So, that's what J-A-P means, Jap. And, anyway, so that's what I played that for, and I played Government Hooker just because I think it's a nasty song and I liked it.
Thank God for the bleeps.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's one reason why I was like, okay, thankfully she bleeped it so I can play it on the radio, because there are a lot of artists I would love to play, but they drop bombs that we can't play on the radio.
Well, edit them.
Huh? Yeah, I would have to go back and edit them, but I really don't like editing other people's music. That's
true.
The way they intend it to
Why
sound.
Not? She's doing it.
She's doing
everything
it.
She does is a sample of somebody else's work.
No, actually, no. On her first album, yes. On her second album, halfway. And on this album, no, it's pretty much all original. But, and, well, you can tell just from those songs, it's kind of like I said, it's... What, Madonna meets Skinny Puppy? I don't know. Madonna meets KMDFM.
bad imitation of Madonna.
No, it's a very good imitation of Madonna, because they're saying the same things about her that they were saying about Madonna when she came out. But, so, there's my Lady Doodoo forever. You'll never hear it played again on
Thank
this
you.
Show, because I will not play her again. So,
well,
enjoy
like
that
said,
while you have it.
I mean, the only other time we have played the song Born This Way was... 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that little...
And some 11-year-old
drag
boy.
Little 11-year-old drag queen.
Yeah, who was performing that. I think it's on our... Well, you don't have Facebook, so you don't...
No, he's that... Isn't he that little kid that lip-syncs all those different songs?
No, this is a new... This is some new kid.
Yeah, and explain this to me. How in the hell Texas is actually trying to pass a law right now that makes it illegal to lip-sync somebody else's song on YouTube? Have you seen that?
I've heard that of
Texas is actually trying to pass
a
law.
Texas, or I thought it was federal.
No, it's Texas. Texas is trying to pass a law that says you cannot lip sync somebody's music on YouTube and video yourself doing it and post.
Why does it not surprise me that our state legislators are wasting their time doing this rather than getting on with the real business of our state?
Right. We
have taken care of the important business. They've outlawed noodling.
Yeah. You can't stick your arm down the throat of a catfish.
Aww.
That was important state business.
Yes. But, well, that's okay. You still can't actually stick your arm up another man's bum yet either, but...
Right.
Well, no, sodomy was overturned. Never mind.
That's right. Sodomy laws were overturned.
Yeah, you can use your... I think you can use your hand. You can't have anything in your hand. It's still illegal for you to put a device in someone else's... body yeah. in Texas, so
but you
as
can
long
put,
as you use your hand.
As long as you use something that is your body part. If you use a body part, you can do it. If it's not a body part, well, then it's illegal.
Hold on.
I want all those lesbians to sell your strap-ons right now.
Well, no, you can put objects in there. They just cannot look like a penis.
No, and you can't touch it. So you cannot use a device on another person.
You cannot be touching it. That means wear gloves, because that way technically your skin is not touching the object that is going into the other person.
And it is actually illegal in the state of Texas to own a device that looks like a penis. Yes.
Or more than 6 of them.
Yes.
We have a Facebook posting. Somebody said, OMG, my friend DBRT has turned into one of them.
I know who that was.
No, I am not a monster. Like I said,
trust me. Just before we went on the air, I tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Please tell me you're not getting obsessed with Lady Gaga."
And I'm like, "No, I play those songs tonight, and that's the only time you will ever hear Lady Doodoo on my radio."
Oh, hearing that, you make me want to believe there really is a god.
There is. His name is Rick Perry. He's running for president.
I want Rick Perry and Donald Trump on the good hair ticket.
Aquanet would be funding the whole damn thing.
Right.
Yeah, Aquanet. No, Consort for men.
You
that's
call Donald Trump's hair good?
No, that's the Bush.
Ew.
No, the Bush hairspray is Consort. It's not Aquanet. And they're too butch to use Aquanet. They would use Consort. Or they'd use Aquanet unscented. Okay, let's get back to leather.
Donald Trump's hair looks like a bad wig.
No, it looks like Garfield shat on his
head. Hold on. We got another Facebook posting about y'all here real quick. Listening to you guys right now. Love you guys. I love learning about leather lessons. I try to be an all-around person with the GLBT culture, but I feel I don't have the proper knowledge in order to be a bear, leather person, jock, etc. Thank you guys for bringing people to teach interested young people like me to learn something new. So I love learning new things within the GLBT community, not just leather lessons, but anything in general. And that's from Miguel.
Well, thank you, Miguel. That's great to hear.
It's nice to know that there are actually people out there listening. I mean, doing this show this late and only once a month, we often sit here thinking that there might be a whole four people out there who are actually listening to the show. It's nice to hear from you.
Well, no, that's not true. Although I did meet someone tonight who told me that while he was incarcerated for a misdemeanor, he listened to us faithfully because it got him through his incarceration.
Well, there was somebody who actually came all the way down to the station tonight just to meet us because he's been listening to the show, and that was Jim. Jim, if you're listening, hello, and thank you for stopping by tonight.
We actually got
to meet one of our fans.
It was really great to meet you. We're glad you showed up. He looked at me and was like, well, y'all kind of look like I thought you would. Yeah, we do.
Well, there's been pictures of us all over Facebook.
Yeah, I don't know you. I'm not on Facebook, so.
Yes, you are.
Are there pictures of me?
Oh, yes, you are. You're on the After Hours site.
Okay. I'm afraid to even ask what pictures they are, but.
Pictures taken of us sitting around the booth here.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I wasn't even considering that. I thought maybe you were taking the toilet picture from the Louis website.
Oh, no.
We've got to get new board photos for that.
So, no more bathroom pictures.
No. Oh, we need to come up with a new concept besides we are the
Yeah, we are the poop.
Yeah, we are the poop. Because that was the theme when we did that, the toilet pictures.
Yep. We have another fan on the line.
So, our next topic I think we're going to talk about, let's talk about rope and
rope.
We're going to talk about rope and bondage rope. And handcuffs and the safe way to play rope. With these types of scenes and fetishes and things to look out for and the way to have fun and play safely so everybody's happy and everybody gets off on the scene. And I know rope and bondage is Buzz's specialty, so I'm going to let Buzz start with this one.
It's really fun to tie somebody up, especially if they like to be tied up. And the most fun part is when you get them all tied up, watching them try to get loose. That's the whole idea. But watch as you do. When you tie somebody up, make sure that you keep in mind that this rope is coming into direct contact with their skin. And, of course, in order to keep them from getting loose, you have to tie it kind of tight. Always watch the skin around the rope, because if it looks like it's cartoon outlined in red, the ropes are too tight, they are struggling too hard, and it's actually burning their skin. So you have to keep an eye on that. And another thing is, if you're going to tie around the wrists or the ankles, feel the extremities from time to time. Make sure that they're still warm, because if they're getting cold, you're actually cutting the circulation off.
And you don't want to do that. Like we said, we don't want to.
Do not tie anything around the neck.
No.
Can anybody tell me why?
It's cold.
Oh, I see you. You raise your hand. You're right, because you're going to strangle them.
You're right. Can we say David Carradine?
Right? We don't do that.
If you tied them up properly, they're not going to be able to raise their hand.
I haven't tied them up yet.
Oh, yet. Okay. Yet is the operative word.
I do have a little over 300 feet of rope cut in several different lengths and several different types of rope.
That's what I was going to say. Let's talk about the types of rope, because some types of rope are much better for this kind of play than others.
And it's actually, it doesn't make sense. You think about the types of rope and how they might react on the skin, and what you're thinking is upside down.
Yes, it's backwards.
You would think that the nylon rope would not burn as badly.
Because it's so smooth.
Because it's so smooth. Actually, it burns more. When you're testing out a piece of rope to play with, run it over your skin first real slow so that you get the sensation of the rope, and then run it over your skin really fast
and feel how that burns, you'll actually find that cotton or hemp rope burns a lot less than nylon rope.
Because it is a natural fiber.
Exactly. It's a natural fiber, whereas the hard... The nylon rope, even the stuff that's braided and it feels kind of soft, that is a hard surface because it's formed. It's plastic and it's formed.
It's a synthetic and it's going to burn.
Exactly. It's synthetic. It's going to burn the skin even more than your natural fibers. So depending on what you're doing with the rope, I'm not saying don't play with nylon rope. Because it can be fun.
We're just saying be cognizant of...
Know your toys before you start to play.
Now, I know a lot of people, there's different types of bondage and rope play. The two main categories, you have what I call show rope.
Yep.
And then you have play rope. Play rope is not pretty. It's meant to tie somebody up.
Right.
Then you also have what we call show rope, which is where you're actually making gauntlets and tortoise shells and body harnesses and things like this. So when you go out, it looks beautiful. And it is a beautiful art form. If you want to see this as an art form...
Pick up a copy of Erotic Japanese, The Art of Japanese Bondage by Mistress Midori.
Midori is an incredible woman.
Beautiful, beautiful. And she goes into the erotic, but the stuff that's in the book, she actually shows you a picture of it already tied, and then goes into exactly how to tie it. And it's some of the most incredible stuff, beautiful stuff. But there again, we're talking about pretty bondage.
That's what we're saying, that you have show bondage, which is for, you know, public display, and then you have bondage, which is for real play. They are two very different types of knot tying, rope tying, and they are very different looks.
And you don't have to be a sailor. You don't have to be a sailor and know each and every knot.
Or an Eagle Scout. You just need
all you have to do is know that knot.
Yeah.
And that's what Midori calls it. She says, all you need to know is that knot. And what it is your basic square knot.
Yeah.
You don't need to know a half hitch or a shank knot, or you don't have to know all of the fancy knots. All you need to know is that knot. And when you're doing an erotic scene, it's not about so much the bondage itself, although that is definitely a major key portion of it, but it's also about the sensation of the rope and the mental state that you're in while you're doing this.
And if you're as a bottom... which I don't get into, but the bottoms I have spoken with, for them, it is the mind trip and the letting go, because they are immobilized. They have no movement. They cannot move. And that's what gets them off.
The fascinating portion of this is the trust issue.
Yeah.
And people who like to be tied up like to be able to give up that trust, but they like a little bit of danger in that as well. The thing is for you tops, when you do this, when you tie somebody up and you're having a really great erotic scene, it might be a whole lot of fun for you, but make sure that it's fun for them as well. When you have somebody's body under your control, make sure that that control is, as we say, not harming them. Pay attention to the extremities. Make sure you're not cutting off circulation. You don't have to ask them, are you okay? Because as long as you haven't gagged them, they are going to be able to use their safe word. So if something goes terribly wrong and they need to be released right now, they will be able to tell you that. So that in mind, if you're going to play with rope bondage, always have a pair of guarded scissors. You can always buy new rope. Okay, be prepared to have to cut this rope immediately. If somebody is in a bound situation and goes into a panic, you, as the top, have the responsibility to get them out of that now.
And consider how long it takes to actually tie somebody up and immobilize them. It takes just as long, if not longer, to untie all those knots and get them out. And if they're having a panic attack, they don't have 30, 45 minutes. You need to cut that rope off.
Yeah, you get the scissors that have the little bulbs on the end so that you're not poking them, stabbing them with them. So get yourselves a good, strong pair of safety scissors and have them handy. Because if that person goes into a panic and you don't cut them loose, you could actually have a heart attack on your hands. And you don't want that.
We want to hurt you. We don't want to harm you.
Or it could cause permanent psychological damage, and
exactly.
That's something we don't want to do.
And when you're doing this, when you're actually taking control of somebody's body, and you're actually immobilizing them, you're sending them on. You're going on a power trip, and so are they. You're gaining power, they're giving up power, and you're both supposed to enjoy this. If you're not enjoying it, the panic mode can become permanent.
Yes.
You don't want to send somebody into a panic and not be there to get them out of that situation, because if you don't get them out of it soon enough, the mind plays tricks on people, you know? And when you get somebody in that panic, helpless situation, you don't want that mindset to become permanent. And we're going to get into aftercare a little bit later. And this is something that you're going to have to deal with in aftercare. Make sure that when you unwrap somebody, you take just as much time and you're just as erotic about untying it as you were in tying it. Make the entire experience pleasurable for both of you.
Keep in mind what you're doing when you're immobilizing somebody and tying them up. You are doing this, it is a slow progression. You are literally building up to the mental climax, the endorphin rush that you both want.
I love rope.
When you hit that point, you need to come back down slowly and gently, and just as gently and wonderfully as you went up, you need to come back down the same way. You don't go all the way up and then crash and burn.
And there are other things that can be used in bondage as well.
Oh, all kinds of things.
I do not recommend that novices play with metal bondage toys such as handcuffs, leg shackles, chain, that sort of thing. They're fun. They're decorative. They're ominous.
Yes, they're very cool in a porno movie, but they're not practical.
Exactly. Think about this, people. When you put handcuffs around somebody's wrists, you don't play with them. You don't knock them around. You don't roll them around, because those cuffs, if you roll them the wrong way, those cuffs can break bones.
Oh, yeah.
So for the novices out there, if you're going to play, have a pair of handcuffs hanging on the wall or hanging off a hook on the wall.
Or once you get them tied up, hang some handcuffs off the rope.
Or dangle them over their face. You know, tease them with the handcuffs, but don't put them on them until you know exactly what you're doing, what you're going to be doing, and stick to your plan. Because metal bondage devices can be very, very dangerous. Like I say, know your toys, know what you're doing, stick to your plan, don't harm anybody.
And keep in mind, with all the scenes we are talking about and all the fetish games that we're talking about tonight, these are consensual. These are scenes
exactly.
that are negotiated in advance. You are going to sit down and say, this is what I want, this is how far I want to go, and everybody agrees or you don't play. Because everybody needs to know that they have that safety net. They have to know that they can trust you not to go past that limit. Whether you're a top or a bottom, and tops can be just as damaged as a bottom is when
a bottom
suddenly decides they want to change the rules and take it further, and it's not something that was negotiated, and all of a sudden, this is a power bottom, this person turns into a power bottom, you literally create scarring or some kind of damage or rope burns or whatever scene we're playing, and now the top is scarred thinking, oh my God, I've permanently damaged this person, now what do I do?
And let me give you people my sideways grin and wag my finger at you. Those of you who are advanced enough to play with the metal toys like handcuffs and leg shackles and all of that, don't do it unless you know where your key is.
Thank you.
When you get a pair of handcuffs, you get two keys with it. Don't store both keys in the same place.
No.
Because if you lose one, know where the other one is. Don't put those things on unless you know where your keys. But then, see, I'm not supposed to have to remind you, because by the time you get around to playing with these things, you're supposed to already know this stuff.
Yeah, and one thing I will give you a tip on, I mean, a handcuff key looks really cute on your keychain hanging on your belt. But if you put a handcuff key, and I have them too, but the handcuff keys that I have on my keychain, they are not for toys I use. Because if it's on your keychain and that metal is getting knocked around all the time, that handcuff key may or may not work. It may be bent. It may be worn down where it will not unlock those handcuffs. Keep a clean set of keys that are not being knocked around on your keychain all day, every day.
I carry two on my key ring, but honestly, I have two sets of handcuffs and two sets of leg shackles, so I have like eight keys.
And no, yeah. I only carry two of them on my key ring because, yeah, they look cool. But I know where my other keys are.
I keep one on my key ring, and I do actually test it. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, I test mine regularly,
once a month,
too.
I'll close a handcuff and see if I can open it with that key just to make sure it still works. So keep that in mind. Keep a clean set of keys that are not on your keychain all the time because they will get worn down and they may or may not work when you need them to.
And be cautious about using some of the other things that people use for bondage. Duct tape is real fun.
Not if you have any body hair. And
not so much with somebody who's hairy because...
Well, that's a whole scene into itself. That can be a lot of fun. But the other thing with
duct tape... It's like a Brazilian wax.
Keep in mind, duct tape is made to be a permanent fix to something. So the glue on that stuff is really strong. If you peel that stuff off, you could be peeling skin,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you put that over somebody's face who has a mustache. When you take it off, the mustache is coming with it.
And... you put it on somebody who's hairless. You pull it off, especially in the summer when it's so hot.
You can actually take layers of skin.
And that's not something you want to do.
No.
So duct tape, no. If you want to play with plastic and tape, get saran wrap.
There is bondage tape, and yeah. There's no glue to it. There's no glue on it.
No, it's just those rubber strips.
Yeah, it's just it's the tape material without the glue, and it sticks to itself, but there's actually no glue on it, so it's not going to stick to hair or skin, and it works really well in a bondage scene.
Yeah, and that stuff is really good. You can
wrap it around and tuck it under itself, and it's going to hold just fine.
We call it bondage tape, but you can actually get that stuff at Home Depot. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, Home Depot, Southland Hardware, these are some of my favorite toy stores.
Yeah. Ace Hardware, Southland Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, the great toy stores.
You can play with things in kink scenes that you wouldn't even think. And, you know, things are made to do one thing, but, you know, if you're a little twisted like we are,
we use it
for other things.
Yes, thank you.
Spatulas make great paddles.
Oh, yeah. They do.
Yeah, buddy.
The plastic spatula is really good.
Okay, I know you're supposed to hang clothes with clothespins, but...
It's much more fun
much more fun to put them on the skin.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we've kind of talked about bondage and different types of rope. And again, the best types of rope to use are natural fiber ropes like cotton or hemp.
Oh, hemp. Oh, I love hemp rope.
And, yeah, hemp rope is really fantastic stuff. For most people who are seriously into bondage, hemp rope is the preferred rope, but by no means is it a requirement.
And I like the quarter inch, the cotton clothesline.
Yeah, cotton clothesline is really
great. I don't like using the vinyl or nylon clothesline. It's too rough and too sharp.
Well, number one, if you're using only quarter inch, it's too thin. It's too sharp. It could be cutting.
And it's too stiff. Yeah. But if you get it in cotton, it's not.
Yeah, it's great. And that's also really good for doing decorative work when you go out. Like for creating gauntlets.
Yeah, when I tie that serpentine gauntlet on Kirby, that's what I use. I use quarter inch clothesline.
And the fun thing is, when you use quarter inch clothesline and create gauntlets, by the end of the evening when you take them on, you've got the gauntlet
impressions
on your skin for like
hours.
It makes
cool patterns on the skin.
Really cool. And the skin becomes very sensitive, so all you got to do is just run your fingers or lightly scratch real light all the way up the skin, and they pop a hearty every time.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, Woody's in the house.
That's it.
So let's get on to some more of the risque things like water sports. I think that's
a rather subjective term.
Well, risque in the fact that now we're going to be talking about actually body insertion, exchanging a body fluid, possibly.
Oh, no, so, don't do that.
That's what I'm saying. So let's talk about water sports because we see it all the time on the internet. In almost every porn movie, they have a pee scene now, as they call it.
Yep.
And so let's talk about the do's and don'ts of water sports. I know a lot of people are into watching it. Some people are not. They love to watch it, but they are not into the actual scene itself. Some people only play top in this scene. Some people only play bottom. Some people play lightly, some people play heavy. Everybody has their own level of play with any scene, but this scene in particular, most people have a very specific...
And it's important to note...
Hard limit.
...that because you don't play as hard at things or as deeply with things as somebody else, don't beat yourself up over it. Don't be playing outside of your limits simply to show that, you can play rough too.
you play at your own level where you're comfortable, because honestly, people, the only reason we're doing this is to have fun.
To have fun and to get off and to get the endorphin rush. And if you're forcing yourself past the limit you are comfortable with, then you're not having a good time. And the whole point of this is to have a good time. Yes, it is to expand your limits. And the more you play a scene, the more you want to try a little bit more and try a little bit more just to see what you can take. And that's the cool thing about it.
And if you're only into having somebody pee on your foot, then that's what you're into, and that's good enough.
Thank you. And, you know, I love that John Waters movie with Foot Stomper, okay?
Right.
But, so, some do's and don'ts with water sports. I call them wet heads.
Woohoo!
And actually, one of my albums, Hanky Panky, I did, it was every song was a different hanky color, and one of the songs, of course, because I chose the gay rainbow, was yellow, and it was one of my most popular songs. But
I have that CD.
Yeah, yellow, and there's a 12-inch dance mix on it that's like 8 minutes long, and I call that the wet head mix. But, so, for wet heads, this is Water Sports 101. Like I said, everybody has their own level, their own limits. Some people drink, some people don't. Some people want to get piss-boffed, some people don't. Some people like it on them, not in them. Some people only like to do it to others, don't want it done to them. Again, play your limit and your comfortability. Do not have somebody force you to do something you don't want to do. The point of this isn't to prove you can do something. The point of it is to have a good time and explore your sexuality. So,
if you're curious about it, try it. But try it with somebody who knows what they're doing and start slow.
But honestly,
and build.
With a scene, I call it a game like water sports, you want to, if it's something you watch and you enjoy watching and you think you'd be into it, don't even bother trying it with somebody. Do it to yourself. See what you like. You know, you see so many...
Yes, like, Robert, I've been to your website.
No, I took my website down 5 years ago. I took my website down 3 years ago. But most people you see on the internet or in movies and stuff, they're always like in the bathtub and water, peeing on themselves and things like this. And if you're going to do that, that's the perfect place to play. Because if you find out when you do it to yourself that you don't like it, well, you're already in the tub, wash off and get out. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's just that simple.
The soap is right there.
Yeah, right there. Or just drain the tub and turn on the shower. Again, like Buzz said, pee on your foot, pee down your leg, you know. Some people only like to pee in their jeans or wet their pants, but they don't like any other kind of play. Like, everybody has their own limit. But, here's the things you need to know. Urine is sterile. Yes, it is. Until it hits your urethra. When it starts coming out of your wank, then it can become infected with anything you've got. So, although urine is sterile and the jury is still out on this as far as HIV or any other diseases, you are taking that risk. And that is a risk only you can determine. And while urine is sterile, while it's inside your body, once it leaves your bladder and starts exiting your body, it can become tainted with anything that is floating around in your body. Things that will affect, and for those of you who are into smell or taste, this is for you. Especially if you're wanting to learn and wanting to experiment, these are things, and everybody knows.
Well, see, the nose is a place for a clothespin, too.
Yes, thank you. But that's still not going to help with asparagus.
No.
Okay? And everybody knows what happens when you eat asparagus and the smell that comes out when you pee.
Mine smells like coffee.
So basically, any dark green vegetable is going to do that. Brussels sprouts, spinach, asparagus, dark green veggies. If you want it not to be as aromatic and as strong, and some people like it, most people don't, then stick to the lighter vegetables. Think salad ingredients, okay? Dark red meats, dark meats, things like that are also going to affect the smell and or flavor. So if you're not into a very strong smell or flavor, then shy away from those foods and this is definitely a thing you have to plan for in advance.
Poultry and seafood.
Yeah. And I would not even say seafood. I would say fish, but not seafood.
Whitefish.
Whitefish, yes. Like something like
cod.
Cod, catfish, something like that. If you're eating seafood like shrimp or lobster,
if you do
or something,
catfish, clam, don't noodle it.
Yeah, no, don't noodle it. Or flounder. I don't know if you can noodle a flounder.
Maybe with your pinky.
Or are you just floundering?
Right.
Thank you. But so stay away and stay away from dark meats. Stay away from dark vegetables. Light vegetables, like I said, think salad ingredients. Light white meats like ground turkey or white chicken breast, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to eat meat, that's what you need to eat.
Well, if you're going to eat meat and you're planning to play with
water
sports.
That's what we're talking about at the moment. And so these are things you need to do. When it comes to drinking, a lot of people talk about recycling beer. That's the whole cute catchphrase, okay? Is, ooh, I need to recycle some beer. Okay, fine, great. Beer is actually fine because when it comes out of your body, it's basically just water.
Hello.
If you're drinking hard liquor, it's not going to be a fun scene. Trust me, you're not going to like it.
Nope.
I mean, it's not going to smell. It's going to have some color to it, but it's not going to taste good at all. Especially if you do, like, gin or whiskey or bourbon or any of the dark liquors like
that. I'm not drinking anything smells like a Christmas tree.
Thank you. Oh, God, I can't stand gin.
Ugh. I like a good gin, but only rarely.
Oh, no. That's like chewing the bark of a fir tree. It's just nasty. I can't stand gin. But
chewing on juniper berries.
If you're going to drink liquor, probably, and also stay away from the very sweet liquors like rum, things like that. If you're going to drink hard liquor, basically the only liquor that's not really going to affect anything is going to be vodka. Past that, stick with beer. Because,
yeah.
And if you're going to drink hard liquor and mix it with a clear soda. Dark sodas will affect the smell and flavor of your urine as well, as of your pee. So,
well, the darker ales have the same.
Yeah, darker beers do too. But, you know, in the world in which we live, all these body conscious people, they drink light beer. So if you're going to drink beer.
Pale ales.
Yeah, just stay away from the dark beers. So, you know, the German beers, the dark ales and things like that. Just stick with a Bud or a Miller or whatever.
What, you want to drink my what? No, can't. Just had a Guinness.
Again, this is, like I said, if this is a scene you're into and a scene you want to try, play with yourself first and see if you like it.
And we all know you play with yourself.
Thank you. And keep in mind, also drinks like tea. Don't drink tea. It's very bitter. And think what that's going to do. Remember, what you consume is what you're going to put out. So if you consume junk, that's what's going to come out.
I drink coffee.
So, yeah.
Lots and lots of coffee.
So, with Buzz, it's kind of like you're playing with, what, Juan from...
Juan Valdez.
Juan Valdez.
Right.
Or is it Dunkin' Donuts, man, or what?
Hey, my Woody's mountain grown.
Hey, it's time to make the donuts. Hey, it's time to wet the donuts. Okay. So, again, if it turns you on to see it, it's probably going to turn you on to do it. But... again, play with yourself and see if you like it first. Because, like I said, some people are into bottoming for it. Some people are into topping only. Some people like both ways.
Yeah. Follow your curiosities, but do it cautiously.
Do it cautiously and find your limit with yourself first. Then find somebody that you trust and that you can talk to negotiate this kind of a scene.
You can actually, once you've found your limits, you can actually, as you play more often, you can, like, push your limits, but yeah. Always do so cautiously.
Yes. And if you haven't watched anything on National Geographic, Discovery Channel, or any of those other things, well, I don't know, there's that one survival show where just this past week they were thrown out in the middle of the desert, and they had this whole big thing on the uses of urine and how it can save your life in the desert.
Yep.
And, yeah, it can. So it is recyclable. You can drink it. Past two times, it becomes toxic. So you don't want to recycle without flushing your system out more than twice. And the way to do that, basically, is just drink water. Keep yourself hydrated with water so you are not recycling over and over. Because when you do, it becomes toxic. And I mean, they teach GIs the same thing.
Yep.
When you go into boot camp, one of the things they tell you, if you're stuck in the desert and your canteen is empty... you can drink your own urine.
Pee in your canteen.
Pee in your canteen. It is liquid that your body can process again. after two times it becomes toxic, like I said, and yep. That's the last time I'll say that. But if you are going to play this way, again, know the status of your partner. And when I say status, I mean covering the gamut from herpes, HIV, Hep C, Hep A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever.
If you're going to exchange bodily fluids, you want to make sure that the person you're exchanging body fluids with doesn't have bodily fluids that are going to carry things that will keep giving.
Yeah. You don't want the gift that keeps on giving no matter what it is. So, if that's the case, adjust your play. We're not saying don't play with them. That is your choice. We're just saying adjust and negotiate the level of play that you decide to play with that person. Yeah. And again, only you can decide that and they can decide that. So again, when it comes to recycling, it can be done. Even the military are taught to do this and told how to do this and that it is acceptable. And one other thing to keep in mind, if anybody is, say, diabetic and they're on diabetic medication or they're on Cymbalta or they're taking anything, any kind of drug in their system is going to come out because your body cannot process the entire drug, so the rest of it gets expelled. So be prepared that if they are on any kind of inhibitor or drug or anything else for any kind of thing from high blood pressure to diabetes to whatever, that is going to affect the flavor.
Yep. And whatever drugs they're taking, if you're drinking their pee, you're taking them too.
Yeah, exactly. So just keep that in mind when you're negotiating that kind of a scene with somebody. So, and know the questions to ask, know how to protect yourself, and how to play as safely and sanely as possible. And, yeah, respect limits. Again, this is a scene that you want to negotiate. If it's something that happens, say you pick up a trick and you play, and then, okay, let's hop in the shower, and you pee on each other, no big deal.
Woohoo!
Pee on each other. Everybody pees in the shower.
And if you're taking a really hot shower, surprisingly enough, peeing on each other, it feels cold.
Yeah, it does, yeah. But
it's the oddest sensation.
And another thing to also keep in mind, that if you're going to drink, keep in mind it's kind of like room temperature tea.
Yeah.
So I think more than anything, it's not even the flavor, it's just the temperature that makes you gag, because you're used to drinking something hot or something ice cold. But when it's something that's body temperature, your body doesn't really know how to deal with it in the world in which we live now, because they're not used to drinking anything that's room temperature or body temperature. So keep in mind, it's going to be like tepid tea. It's going to be that temperature. And that's why I say play with yourself first and see if it's something you're willing to do.
I drink my beer at room temperature.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I mean, when I was in Europe, most liquors and most beers are served at room temperature. You literally have to ask for ice.
It tastes better room temperature.
Yeah. Well, depending on the beer. Some beer tastes like crap. You've got to be
especially ice. American domestic beers.
American
most of
domestic
them taste
beers
like crap warm.
Well, that's because they're not cold brewed.
Right.
They're hot. They're heat brewed, and that makes them taste nasty.
And I don't know if I can do any. I don't know if I can mention any brand names without getting in trouble.
No,
by saying what kind of beer I prefer to drink.
Well,
I drink Miller High Life.
The beer,
and it tastes great at room temperature.
You're not slamming anybody else. You're saying what you like. Me, personally, I prefer Chimay, blue label or white label. Okay, but you can't find Chimay in a bar, so I don't drink Chimay in a bar. I normally just get like a Bud Light or a Miller Light, whatever.
Oh, I like Grolsch from Holland. Mm. I would drink it more often, but it's really expensive.
Yeah.
But it's even better warm than it is cold.
Yeah, because the European beers are meant to be served room temperature.
You can put on that resealable ceramic top at night and leave it on the coffee table, and in the morning, you got warm beer and cold pizza.
So
breakfast of champions.
So I used to say that the college two-meal plan was hot pizza and cold beer for dinner, cold pizza and warm beer for breakfast.
Right. Yeah, buddy.
And the supermodel diet is two cigarettes and a cup of coffee.
But see, we're talking about European beers. I've got some Polish beer, and it was the first one I ever saw that had the temperature label on it, so that when it's cold enough, it fills in there.
Right, so you know that it's... But again, if you'll notice, it doesn't need to be very cold for it to be good.
Oh,
I think it's pretty much only... And that's the funniest thing, the one commercial with the train in it, they talk about how it's so delicious ice cold. Yeah, because it's the only way you can tolerate it, is ice cold, because when it gets even barely close to room temperature, it doesn't taste like beer anymore. So, anyway.
Tastes like blended hops.
Ugh. No. Actually, honestly, American beer, if I had to say...
You didn't make this with hops, or did you make it with Brussels sprouts?
No, if I had to pick one American beer, it would have to be Samuel Adams beer. Hmm. Because they actually brew beer in the European way, and it's very good.
See, for me, I can't handle American-type lagers. I either have to go with something strong, like a stout or mm-hmm. an ale, or go
But that's one thing why I love Chimay. Oh, I love that stuff.
How's that spelled?
Chimay.
Okay, yeah.
The Chimay monks in Belgium are the ones that invented beer. Yeah. They really know how it's supposed to be made because they invented the damn stuff. The Chimay monks, actually, well, I know we're off topic, but...
Yeah.
Cute one. Well, no, because we're still talking about what to recycle. So,
We took a track way off that direction.
Yeah, the Chimay monks actually what they were trying to do was create a cheaper version of champagne so they could compete with the French.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not have the ingredients that the French had, so they used hops and barley and wheat instead and invented beer. So that's how that came into being. And I actually went to the Chimay Monastery when I was in Belgium and got a tour of the monastery.
They couldn't figure out how to grow grapes?
Don't ask me. Well, no, they couldn't figure out how to get it to ferment and get bubbly. So they thought, okay, well, if we do that, let's try to add some barley or let's try to add some wheat or something like that. And that's how they invented ale. Beer. Yeast, yeah. So, but that's where they decided to get their yeast from, and they inadvertently invented ale and beer. So good for them. We love the monks. So that's the kind of do's and don'ts and the basic rundown for water sports. If you're going to play that scene, know who you're playing with. It is a scene that you need to plan in advance and know what you're and just understand and know that whatever you consume is going to come back out, and whatever you consume is going to affect the flavor and or smell of. And again, everybody has their own tolerance level. Some people like very strong aroma or taste, but I have found most people do not. And the best way to get around that...
If you're going to get wet, be a connoisseur.
Yeah, if you're going to be wet, be a connoisseur. And the best way to do it, my personal favorite recipe, is one beer, two glasses of water. One beer, two glasses of water. The beer makes sure that you've got to keep peeing, and the water makes sure that you're flushing your system and keeping it clean. Okay?
What a lousy wretch.
No.
I'm just seeing a sommelier now walking around the dungeon going, and what would you like to have on top?
No.
You're violating rule number one.
No, I'm not, because that's not for... That wretch's rules do not apply to this scene. Sorry.
Well, you're no fun.
Thank you. Actually, I am, because if I actually did apply the wretch's rule to that, look out, everybody would be wet.
Yeah, buddy.
Don't look at me.
Don't know the wretch's rules, do you?
Because
I'm not a wretch.
No.
I know I can't tell you.
Wretches aren't allowed to know. Non-wretches aren't allowed to know the rules. But no, just keep in mind, I've got a PA so I can take it out and I can hit two people at one time.
That's true.
There we go. So
he has a divider.
I have a divider. Ooh.
A splitter.
I have a forked tongue. Spout. Yeah.
You speak with Forked Woody.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, we're going to take a little musical break now. Then we're going to have our announcements for the radio station. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about electricity.
Ooh, yeah.
Because everybody loves electricity. So, Chris, if you gear up the next two songs, I think...
I can only do one song before I have to do the PSA. Okay. So
We'll hit one song. We'll hit the PSA. PSA, then we'll do then one do more song when we'll be back.
Oh, good. This lots next of time group, to smoke.
If all of y'all watch TV at all, they're featuring this next song on some commercial for Facebook or something, I think. This is Chromeo with Hot Mess. They are playing the instrumental version in the commercial. This is the real song. And we'll come back with another song after that with Chromeo also. So enjoy.
You're a hot mess. You act like you've got nothing to do. But I've already lost my temper. I put my love in. I know my temper's been
me, I'm not a bloody social worker.
Montgomery County Youth Services is offering a mentoring program serving children of prisoners. Children served in this program are between the ages of 4 and 14 and must live in the Montgomery County. Matches are carefully made based on common interests, personality, and geographic area. Mentors help the child focus on improving academic and social skills and developing a positive self-image while increasing exposure to cultural opportunities. Mentors who can commit to the program for at least 1 year are also needed. For guidelines and more information on this program, please contact Kim Birdwell at 281-292-6471. That's 281-292-6471. This is KPFT Houston.
Our Spring 2011 membership drive has just ended, and we want to thank you for your support of listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio. Your pledges really do make a difference for your station and your community. If you opted to pay via check, you will be receiving your envelope in the mail soon. Please, don't forget to pay your pledge. We depend on your pledges to stay on the air, and we determine when the next pledge drive happens based on pledge fulfillment. If you want to support KPFT, there is still time to do it. Visit kpft.org to make a pledge securely online for all the great music, news, and more. That's kpft.org to pledge online. If you love KPFT, here's your chance to ensure the station you love has what it needs to continue bringing you great programming. This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
Hey, enjoy listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You can find us on Facebook. Just do a search for After Hours and find the logo of the black circle with the pink triangle with the gold radio tower. And become a friend of the show like many others have. Get little updates onto what's coming on our show. A little more Chromeo and back with Leather Ties.
Take your body. Don't stop, baby, let the music take control. Don't stop, baby, let the music take control.
we're back on the air. That was Chromeo.
Oh,
that was Chromeo. We first played Hot Mess, and then we played I'm Not Contagious. That's off their newest CD, Business Casual.
We see you out there, and we see that we haven't frightened you away yet, so let's talk about electricity.
Ooh, electricity is a lot of fun.
Yeah, buddy.
So, if you're just tuning in, this is Leather Ties on After Hours, the queer radio with attitude. And trust me, we've got the attitude tonight.
The guy in your left ear is Daddy Bear Robert Tichy.
And the one in your other ear is Master Buzz Lawson.
Hi, that would be me.
Yeah, and I'm the other one.
Yeah.
I'm the old I'm the old blonde guy, he's the old brunette guy.
Yeah, well, salt and pepper.
Well, okay.
I think there's more salt now than pepper.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. That's why you shave your head.
And that's why I keep it in a very short flat top so nobody can see how much gray there really is.
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't even in this light.
Well, this is like bright light. You can't see it in bar light.
Well, see, that's why I decided I've been growing my beard out. My beard's about 6 inches long now, and I've been doing that because it's coming out white. So I am blonde, and all of my body hair is white.
You got fine blonde hairs on your butt.
Uh-huh. It's like from the neck down, it's like white blonde hair. It's like Children of the Corn.
Right.
And then my beard is white, and I've got this one weird little brown streak right in the center, which I think I'm going to dye it blue.
His butt's toe-headed.
Yeah. I got a toe-head butt. Yeah, and then all the hair on my head is blonde, but it's quickly going back to the white, too.
Yep.
But, you know, my hair was that color when I was a kid, so I really don't care.
Right.
And you know what? I earned every wrinkle and every damn white gray hair.
I was a toe-headed kid. I got pictures of me when I was like just under a year old, and my hair is like almost white blonde.
Oh, no. I didn't even grow hair until I was like 2 or 3 years old.
Oh, I was born with a full head of dark hair, and within 6 months it turned white.
No, I was like a little albino child. It was like, yeah.
By the way, I got to answer a question I told Buzz earlier.
What?
I was cheesing with one on this one website this past week, and it came up with art. Everyone's unicorn name generator.
Oh, yeah, you were going to tell me what my unicorn name is.
So I posted on Facebook that no one commented on that Leather Ties is hosted by Daddy Bear Dandelion Fairlord and Master Acorn Blue Ears.
Okay.
So what?
These are our unicorn names.
What was my unicorn name again?
Dandelion Fairlord.
Dandelion Fairlord. So I'm from a Shrek movie and you're a Smurf.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Would you get off the Smurf comments?
He's the one with the blue ears.
Well, that's from drinking the Smurf pee during Louie.
Hey, just be glad it's blue ears and not blue balls.
True.
Thank you. All right. Now can we talk about electric? Oh, by the way, I want to go back just for a split second. Wax.
Done.
Wax wax ring is for a toilet. It's not for play. Okay? Thank you. On to electricity.
Could be a really big cock ring.
You're a sick man, Robert.
For what? An elephant? I mean, come on. No, somebody actually had mentioned, what about a wax ring? I was like, that's for plugging a toilet. That's for, like, sealing a toilet. That's not the kind of wax plate we're talking about. That's called brown hanky, and we're not going to talk about that tonight.
No, we're not going to do that.
We're not talking about that tonight. We're going to talk about electricity now. So let's talk about how to electrocute somebody safely.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who cannot afford an ultraviolet wand, there's always a fork and a socket.
Right?
No, I'm
kidding. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Really don't do that.
That was a joke, son.
If you want to have fun with electricity, but you can't shell out a couple hundred bucks for an ultraviolet wand.
Couple hundred?
Well, for the basic kit, it's like 180.
400 for a basic kit.
I don't know where you're shopping, but...
Well, that's with at least, like, six...
I said a basic kit. That's for the wand. And if
with,
you can't...
like, one attachment.
And past that, learn how to get creative.
Fun.
We'll talk about that in a second. But for those of you who can't afford to shell out that kind of money, go down to Home Depot or Lowe's or any...
Oh, you're not going to talk about the mosquito swatter.
Oh, yeah. Those mosquito tennis rackets, those pack a powerful punch. They do, because
but it's a one-time snap.
Yeah, no. Actually, no, it's not. If you hold your thumb down on that button on the handle of the racket, the electricity keeps going. It does not stop.
Hmm.
So, we're not
I'll
talking about...
I'll have to revisit that one.
Well, you know, they have the little zappers, the little... red handle zapper things that you just get the little jolt, like a static electric shock. No, these tennis racket bug zapper things, those things, they take two AA batteries, and when you hold that button down on the handle of that racket, the flow of electricity does not stop until you take your thumb off that button. So it can be a lot of fun to play with one of those toys. I've got two. I'll give you one.
Okay.
So
and yeah, because Kirby likes being electrocuted.
Yeah.
And I like electrocuting him.
Not only that, and it's like spanking somebody without wearing your arm out, because all you have to do is just barely touch their butt and they jump, or any other part of their body. And
Kirby
would
giggle.
Kirby would giggle, but you know.
I took him after him the one time with the violet wand right there at the ripcord.
Oh, yeah.
With a pointer on my finger and had that thing cranked all the way. I was actually burning lines into his skin and he's sitting there giggling.
Okay, so with that comment, let's talk about safety issues with a violet wand and exactly what is a violet wand and how do you play with it. So,
it was actually originally, the way I've been told, now I've gotten two different stories, one of which is true and one is not, and I'm not going to say that I know which is which, but it was told to me that it was originally developed as a cure for baldness.
Yes, it was developed as for cosmetic surgery to stimulate hair growth for bald men.
Right.
That is true.
And
that is true.
It is basically a fairly good-sized handheld instrument with an attachment that is... The basic attachment is basically glass tubing. And, like, you've seen the little brain balls where you...
Yeah, where you touch your fingers
you touch
on
it and
like
the
you
spark
go to,
follows
yeah,
the
Yeah, you
hand.
Go to Spencer's and they have the little brain ball things that you...
That's kind of what this is. It's the same type of a thing, except that it's a lot more powerful. And it delivers a static charge. Like when you run your feet across the carpet and you touch somebody and it goes snap, well, this just keeps snapping.
Yes, it's a constant electric... Static electric.
And with a really good one, you can regulate the power so that it's like a mild snap, or turn it up and it gets a little more powerful. Turn it all the way up and it's like zzz,
yeah,
which is fun. But it's not a constant charge. It's a static charge. So it's that snap, 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 snap. It's not like you're injecting somebody with electricity. You're actually just visiting the electricity onto the surface of the skin.
It's like being able to actually touch somebody with like typing on a keyboard, and every time your finger touches their skin, they get a static charge. They get a snap, and that's what it does. It's a very fast static charge.
Fast-paced static charge.
And the a violet wand has multiple attachments you can buy. They've got a globe, they've got a rake, they've got a tube, they've got all kinds of different things you can buy.
And then there's the paddle.
Yes. Now, and a violet wand, you can also buy what we call a grounder. It's in what it is whoever is using the violet wand.
That's the paddle.
Can turn it on, and then they put this grounder on their body.
The grounder paddle.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. I call
okay.
it the paddle.
Okay. I just called it
a
grounder.
It's not a paddle that you slap somebody with.
You put it on your body. You're the top in the situation. You touch it to your body, and then literally your body becomes the violet wand. You can touch them with your hands and your fingers, and wherever you touch them, that static electricity goes from the wand, passes through your body, and touches them.
You become the conductor.
You know the old little wives' tale that if everybody's holding hands and you touch an electrified fence...
The last person in the line is going to get the charge.
The one who's going to get shocked. It's true.
Yep.
It's not a wives' tale.
Absolutely.
It is true. So basically what it's doing, you're taking the ultraviolet wand and charging your body and turning your body into the violet wand. That's a lot of fun because that keeps your hands free.
Well, let's describe it a little better. When you plug this thing into the end of the violet wand as the attachment, it has a steel ball chain. At the end of that ball chain, there is a small metal paddle.
It's a pad,
Yeah, and you stick that under the waistband of whatever jeans or chaps or whatever you're wearing so that it comes in direct contact with your skin, so that the violet wand itself is actually delivering that charge directly into your body. Your body becomes the conduit, and you become
the violet wand.
The violet wand.
And so whenever you touch somebody, you're... Instead of the wand touching them and delivering the charge, your fingers are doing it. If you kiss somebody, it is going to...
And for those of you who know what a Wartenberg wheel, or as some people call it, and I do too, a pinwheel,
uh-huh.
A pinwheel is metal. And metal conducts electricity. So if you are the Violet Wand and you hold a pinwheel and run that pinwheel on them, not only do you get the sensation of the pinwheel, but it's delivered electrically.
Yes. But think about this also with the Violet Wand. A lot of people make their own little attachments and toys with this thing. Another fabulously fun thing.
Anything metal becomes a toy.
Get some Christmas tinsel at the dollar store. Christmas tinsel is metal. It conducts electricity.
Yep.
It's like, and all you got to do is just snake it up and down their body. It's a great time.
No
because
kidding.
Another fantastic thing to do with the Violet Wand. Go down to Joann's Fabrics or Cloth World or something. Get some of that. Get like a little swatch or a couple of yards of material that has metal threads running through it.
LeMay,
the shining pretty metal threads that makes your the drag queen's dresses sparkle and pretty. Get some LeMay or something with the metallic threads in it and just place it over their body. Then all you have to do is literally touch the fabric and watch the electricity shoot through all those metal.
And it does.
Threads.
You can see it spread.
It is stunning. It's very cool, especially if you get like a really cool like paisley design or a plaid design, because then when you take it off their body, they have all these cute little tracks all over their body.
Violet wands are most fun to play with in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get to see the sparks
flying.
Well,
not necessarily dark. Let's say very dim light.
Yeah.
Because you do. You get to see the sparks flying. As a bottom electricity, it is fantastic to feel, and this is something I loved a top or bottom for. It's a very, very exciting game.
When I was selling them,
the only problem
I loved demonstrating them.
Yes,
because I could demonstrate it on myself. If they didn't want me touching it, oh, that's okay. I'll do it to me.
Yeah, I'll do it to me. Yeah, thank you. I'll do it to me. The only warning I will give you with it. Well, there's a few things you need to know about with an ultraviolet wand, but the biggest one is if you have body jewelry.
Yes, don't touch the body jewelry.
Well, yeah, the body jewelry, even if it's surgical steel, is going to conduct electricity.
And that
now,
piece of body jewelry will heat up with that electricity.
Yes, electricity heats metal, okay? That's how a light bulb works. Let's
keep
think about
it
this.
Away from the body jewelry.
Yeah, so if you're going to do it, be very careful when and how many times you touch the body jewelry. If you're going to play that scene, because I'm into heavier electricity play.
Yeah.
So I like to have it hit my body jewelry. And considering I have body jewelry in multiple places.
Intermittently with some space of time in between to give it a chance to cool.
Because, again, you don't want the metal heating up and cooking your body parts. Okay? So, but it does provide a whole new sense. Say you have your nipples pierced. You love having your nipples played with. Touch it with some electricity. It's tenfold what you would normally feel.
If you smell burning flesh, it's time to stop.
Yeah, if you smell burning flesh, add some Jennie-O. Or add some McCormick sauce gravy or something. You know, get a nice Alfredo.
Throw a little pan of Jiffy Pop on him.
Yeah,
you know?
Jiffy Pop, baby. Jiffy Pop. That's another thing. Aluminum foil, a lot of fun to play with.
Oh, yes.
And as an example, I can give you an example. My partner, Clayton, he is a big, giant electric whore bottom. He is just a whore for electricity. So we got so angry with him. We were at a play party at Mama Duck's, and he's like, we put him on an inversion table, hung him upside down, went through a 110 unit that burned out. Then we got a ceramic core. And there are two different types of TENS units. If you're going to invest money in them, get a ceramic core violet wand. Don't get a wax core because it will melt.
Yep.
And once that's it, it's more expensive to... It's cheaper to buy a new one than it is to replace parts.
That's expensive garbage.
So if you're going to spend money on a violet wand, get a ceramic core. Do not get one of the wax cores.
And when it heats up, even ceramic core ones will heat up. When it gets hot, turn it off and give it a rest.
But they will turn themselves off if they overheat. So But if a wax core overheats, the wax core could melt, and then you're screwed. You don't get to play anymore.
Yeah, then you've got one big hunk of expensive garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got a really cute
something.
Because
there's no fixing it.
You've got a really cute something you can hollow out and turn into like a nightstand lamp or something.
Right.
That's all it's good for anymore. So, we got so aggravated with him because everything we did to him, I mean, we played him with tinsel, we played him with ball chain,
Ball chain's fun.
Yeah. And when we say ball chain, you know, when you see those little keychains, like at the dollar store or whatever, those little ball chains?
The chain that dog tags hang off.
Yeah,
ball chain.
That's ball chain. We used
that
ball,
stuff's fun.
Ball chain. We used aluminum for all kinds of stuff on him. And he would just sit there, can you turn it up? Oh, wow. Okay.
That would be Kirby.
I kind of felt that. And so Mama Duck got really mad, and she's like, Robert, go find me something to torture him with. And so, like, I went into her bedroom, and of all things, and explained this to me. She has still yet to explain to me why she had a BMW car antenna in her bedroom. But I'm assuming it was for a whipping or caning scene. And
that would make sense.
So I took this BMW car antenna, and Mama Duck was grounded. And when you have the TENS unit, I'm sorry, I keep saying TENS unit. When you have the violet wand, because we play with the TENS unit too. We'll talk about that in a sec. But when you play with a violet wand that is grounded to your body, anything you grab, you get shocked because it's the electric fence concept. So I said, and I knew this was going to happen, and I just thought, okay, I got to get her at least once tonight. So I said, here, Mom, try this, and I threw it, and she caught it and immediately screams it, F you! And I was like, you knew better? You knew better? It's metal. It wasn't wrapped with electric tape or anything. You grab the metal, and you are the ground, you know? So when she got over the shock of that, we started playing him with this car antenna, and he finally perked up and woke up. He was just like, oh, wow, that was fun.
Yeah, the more solid the piece of metal that is in your hand that you're playing them with, the sharper
the
sensation.
But do also keep number, and I know a lot of people get into like playing with knives with this. That's, you don't need to use a knife, although it's very showy and looks real pretty. You can use a ballpoint pen and get the same effect, really.
A spoon.
Well, yeah, a spoon. The car antenna itself had the little round ball on the end of the antenna. He said it felt like a knife. He felt like he was in a cutting scene because the electricity going through it was so sharp.
Anything that will conduct electricity can become a toy.
It became such a fine point that it felt like a knife. But so he got that the experience of knife play and cutting without actually being cut or anything like that.
Okay, we've been mentioning the TENS unit. We need to explain what the TENS unit is.
A TENS unit is literally a medical device that is used for people with either muscle or joint problems. Basically what it is, you have four pads that you hook up alternately. You have a positive and a negative, and a TENS unit has two jacks for it, so depending on the TENS unit, you can actually hook up as many as you want.
The device sends a pulse of electricity from the positive to the negative, and you can actually regulate the speed of the pulse, but what it does is when it sends that pulse of electricity
from
positive to negative,
spasm.
All of the muscles in between it spasm.
The best way to describe what a TENS unit is, a very, very, very low watt TENS unit would be those stupid abdomen things that they sell on TV, those as seen on TV,
exactly
wrong code
the
thing.
Principle that they,
the
that
principle
uses.
Of that is it's sending a very low volt of electricity and forcing your abdomen muscles to contract and expand. Thus,
it's what you saw if you watched Jackass the movie and they put it on their genitals.
Right.
Yeah.
That if you watch Jackass the movie, yeah, they actually had a TENS unit. And they actually
There are attachments for the TENS unit that are meant to be used with the genitals.
Yes.
And in that area, it's safe to play those things. The one area that it is not safe, well, two areas,
well,
not safe to play with a TENS unit or the Folsom unit, which is the same thing, only more powerful, is you do not want to play above the waist and below the neck because you're actually sending that current through the heart muscle.
Right.
And you can actually cause somebody to have a heart attack that way.
And
or you don't want to play with it.
On the head.
On the head.
Because you mess up their brain.
Yeah, you're going to fry the brain.
So keep in mind, this is electricity that is literally coursing through the body and causing the muscles to spasm.
I've met people that I swear somebody played with a TENS unit on their head.
Well, no, I think, well.
It's called electroshock
therapy. It's either that, either that or they were dropped on their head when they were a child.
But I had to chuckle every time when I was having my problem with my foot, and I kept going to a home health store
to pick up medical supplies, mm-hmm. and in the on the counter, one of those glass counters, they had some of the display stuff, and they had a TENS unit, and every time I looked at it, I had to chuckle a little bit.
You thought of us.
Oh, look. Way. Toy Store.
Well, now, the thing to also keep in mind with the TENS unit, just like with a Violet Wand, a TENS unit, a Folsom unit, Violet Wand, you can control the amount of the electrical flow, and it's numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, from low to high. So you can always, when you turn it on, you get that initial little, when you're using a TENS unit, because you feel the electricity, and all of a sudden your muscles go, woo, and you're like, ooh, okay, that feels different, and then you can regulate and control it, build it up. The one thing you need to keep in mind, if you're using multiple pads, there is a positive and a negative.
Mm-hmm.
So you never want to put the positive and negatives on the same side. You want to put a say if you're using two sets of pads, you have a positive and a negative. Example on your left shoulder and right shoulder. If you're using put the positive pad on your right shoulder, the negative pad on your left shoulder. If you're using a second set of pads, put the positive on the left shoulder and the negative on the right shoulder, because otherwise the cross currents are going to be too strong for your body and you could literally start causing some serious damage. But again, as with the Violet Wand, a TENS unit, Folsom unit, you have the ability to control the amount of electricity flowing to the body.
And always start low.
Always start
and
low.
And build.
And build.
With any kind of play, start low and build. And make sure that before you play, you have established a safe word for the bottom to say, whoa, enough. You know,
right.
When they say that word, that means, okay, stop. Stop right here. This is my limit. And that way you get to regulate. You start low and you work up to that place where that bottom says, okay, that's enough. That's as much as I want to take.
But like what Chris said with the Jackass movie, you do not necessarily have to put the pads on your genitals themselves to get the effect. If you're using a Folsom or a TENS unit, literally you can put a pad on either hip and get the same effect. You will still get an erection out of it. So if that is your goal, then that's it. But I mean, the goal of this type of electricity play, any type of fetish play like this, isn't necessary ejaculation. It is not a... It is more of a mental orgasm than it is a physical orgasm.
Well, it's not. It doesn't really have to be about ejaculation.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's not about the destination, people. Let's enjoy the journey.
Enjoying the journey of it. And
this is sensation play. This is going from the surface sensation to going to internal sensation.
And
it can be a lot of fun, and it can also be very dangerous. So before you do this, read up. And this is something that I tell anybody who's going to play with electricity. There are books out there that you can read. Familiarize yourself with how electricity works and how it works when it's applied to the body.
Right.
Know what you're doing before you start doing it. Don't be a jackass.
Yeah. And again, with any fetish scene, read, do your homework. Don't think just because you write a book you know what you're doing, because you don't. Talk to somebody. Have somebody mentor you. Find somebody who is into that. Sit down with them. Have them teach you. Hands-on teaching.
Talk to somebody who has done this and does this regularly enough that they've already put in the homework and they can give you the ins and outs, the do's and the don'ts, give you some safety tips. You know, talk to somebody who's already done this. We want you to have fun with this stuff, and if it fascinates you and you want to try it, we want to encourage you to try it.
But we don't
before
want you, to
you
hurt
do,
yourself.
Know what you're doing, because this stuff is dangerous, and that's why we're tempted to do it, because there's that little bit of edge danger bit about it, and if you're going to play with this stuff, you know already, inherently, that it's dangerous. So
that's
know
part
what
of
you're
the,
doing.
Yeah, that's part of the attraction and part of the thrill of it, and that's the endorphin rush you're getting.
We don't want to say, don't do this. We want to say, do this so that you'll want to do it again.
But yes, exactly. Educate yourself. Know the consequences. If you are a novice, learn from somebody practically. I mean, and I'm sorry, an internet dom is not going to teach you anything.
No.
So find a human being to talk to teach you, to show you hands-on how to play.
Yeah, get some FaceTime with somebody who's got some experience
right.
doing this.
And again, you can... There are a lot of books out there you can read, but when it comes down to it, read everything you can read, but it comes down to finding somebody to literally teach you hands-on.
There's a book that Black Hawk Leather carries.
Practice.
There's a book that Black Hawk Leather carries that was written by an electrician who does this sort of thing, and it's basically a how-to guide and a safety guide. I wish I could remember the title of it.
I'm sure Daddy Bob knows. So just go to Black Hawk Leather if you're interested in electricity and ask them what they have on electricity.
Tell them you want to experiment with some electrical play and you want to know what they have as far as reading material. And the guys at Black Hawk Leather, trust me, they know their stuff.
Oh, yeah, they do. So if you have questions, you can go to Black Hawk Leather. You can call us. Hit our Facebook page. Go out to the bars. Start meeting leather people and the people who play these scenes. And start asking questions. If I don't know, I'm going to say, you know, it's not a scene that I'm really into, but I know somebody is, so let me introduce you to them. You can pick their brain. We are there to teach. We are there to mentor. We're also there to have a really good time. And
I like to tell people the limit to the amount of fun you can have is your imagination.
Yes.
But don't let your imagination get so carried away with you that you play so hard that you aren't able to play anymore.
Right. Again, as we always say,
we want you to have fun.
We want to hurt you, but we don't want to harm you.
Yep, we want to hurt you. Boy, do we want to hurt you. But
in
we
the best way possible.
Hello. But we just don't want to harm you.
No permanent damage, because if there's permanent damage, we don't get to play with you again.
Right, if you break your toys, you don't get to play with them anymore.
No.
So don't break your toys. Everybody that you meet is a potential toy. Don't break them, because if you break one, word's going to get out that you break your toys and nobody will play with you.
True. So keep that in mind. Play safe. Educate yourself. Talk to people. Learn. And like we said, we're here. Hit our Facebook page. Call us up when we're on the air and ask us questions if you need to.
I have never broken a toy.
I've never broken a toy. I almost broke a toy once, but I didn't. So.
Well, I kill Joe every year.
Yeah, you kill Joe every year. Let's hit... one last song here. We're going to come back with Roundtable.
Roundtable.
And you said we weren't playing this artist anymore.
Oh, well, no, I said after tonight.
That was deceptive.
No, I said after tonight I will never play her again. But this is Lady Dudu, the love child of Elton John, RuPaul, and Madonna's. Their menage a trois. It's the one they forgot to flush.
Hello.
And I think this is so funny because Lady Gaga is such a drag queen that this song is called I Like It Rough. And I think it's hysterical, especially when it's such cheesy disco. So enjoy.
The man who did.
ladies and gentlemen. That was the final installment of Lady Gaga Music on After Hours.
Thank God. Oh, I'm sorry. Hi.
It's like last month I was over at my parents' house when Lady Gaga's special was on HBO.
Oh.
And my mom saying, "You want to?" Yeah. I was asking my dad, "You want to watch the Lady Gaga thing?" I go, "Mom, I don't even listen to Lady Gaga, and it's required." But then, you know, we've got not a lot of roundtable stuff here, so we're okay with that.
We didn't have any pillars?
We have the This Week in Holy Crime.
Of course.
Not much stories on here.
Nobody's taking it doggy style,
no.
Literally.
Wiener's about to take it that way.
Oh! Yeah, he finally confessed that was his wiener in that picture.
He won't resign.
Yeah, he's taking a leave of absence now.
Yes, uh-huh.
Very impressive pick.
So, is he getting good and lubed up, you know?
I haven't seen that pick.
Yeah, you hadn't seen this one yet?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
No, this is the uncensored one he showed Opie and Andy.
Oh, very nice. Hold on.
That is the distinguished member from the New York.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's the picture that Andrew Breitbart said he was not going to distribute out to everybody, but showed it to Opie and Andy with a camera in the studio.
Who is that?
That's Representative Anthony Weiner of New York.
Oh, my God.
He's definitely got the gay vote now.
So.
What an appropriate name.
As a result of this, I do believe I'm starting a Twitter account and a Facebook account. You know, I'm an ageist. I'm accused of being an ageist. I don't know why. But,
go figure.
You know, when I saw the gray short picture, I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I saw the gray short picture, like, oh, okay. Then when I saw the shirtless pic, it was like, very nice. Then when I saw this one, it's like, oh, hell yeah. So.
You think that could be
He's a bit old for you, don't you think?
Oh, no, no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, he's
no,
47. That. Could that be photoshopped?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Looks good to me.
No, because if he was smart enough to use Photoshop, he would have been smart enough to use a different name.
Right?
That's huge.
Yes.
That's bun length, isn't it?
More than bun length. So we're going to start off with This Week in Holy Crimes.
Oh, woo! Hey! We love all Holy right. Crimes.
As assembled by Joe My God.
Uh-huh.
Over the last 7 days in Belgium, Brussels Archdiocese promises to compensate 500 victims of molestation by church workers.
Ooh.
At least 13 suicides are thought to have resulted from the attacks.
Oh, my God.
North Carolina, Pastor John Jackson charged with additional felony counts of embezzling from his church.
Mm.
Last month, Jackson was charged with using church funds to insure his 5 Cadillacs.
Oh, my God. Five Cadillacs?
Yeah.
5.
P-I-M-P.
Wow.
Ontario, Pastor Emmanuel in a Monday charged with sexual assault on a parishioner.
Mm-hmm.
Need one for every day of the week.
And on the seventh day, he took a bus. this one is one of Wes's favorites. From Alabama, Pastor James Hunter and his wife charged with dealing morphine.
Oh, my God.
Oh, morphine?
It's a new one on our list.
That is
wow.
New York Rabbi Saul Kassan. Let off with 2 years probation in a massive $500 million international bank fraud scheme.
Oh, my God. Even the rabbis.
Wow.
You got Madoff. Now you got the rabbis doing it.
Wow. Yeah,
really. New Mexico. Pastor Stephen Perez charged with child molestation.
Mm-hmm.
California. Father William Myers placed on leave following a minor boy into a changing room at a department store.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well,
was he measuring his inseam?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah, he was taking more than an inside leg. From Texas, Pastor Theodore Bain sued by a congregation for threatening them, abusing alcohol, and making lewd comments to young female parishioners.
Oh, boy.
Minnesota, Pastor David Radke charged with molesting a foreign exchange student staying in his home.
Ooh, that's...
Well, was she promising him a green card or something?
Welcome to America.
Yeah.
No, he would have been promising her the green card.
Yeah.
Missouri, Diocese of Kansas City sued for covering over the actions of Father Sean Radigan, who was accused of taking photos of a nude underage girl. California Pastor Carlton Hammond sentenced to 4 years in prison for child molestation.
God.
Iowa Pastor Patrick Edward charged with multiple counts of sexual abuse. New York, molestation trial of Pastor Joe Flowers delayed due to the revelation of a second victim.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, you know.
And this, too.
And this week's winner from New Jersey. Members of the Walking with Christ sect have pled not guilty to causing the death of an 8-year-old girl after forcing the child to fast in order to achieve holiness.
Oh my God.
Really? Pastor Emmanuel Chris told followers that even to swallow one's own saliva was a sin and is a violation of this fasting edict.
Oh, my goodness.
So they taught them to spit.
It's wrong on so many levels.
The victim's mother was charged with aggravated manslaughter. Pastor Chris has not been charged with anything.
Why not?
Too strong.
So, that ends that part on there. Mm-hmm. The wonderful people over at Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, yeah.
What are these morons done this time?
Well, is this the thing with the Klan?
No. This is, they apparently have decided to get some new signs. And yes, instead of all those Technicolor, you know, looks like the a Grateful Dead poster in the background.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, they're getting more colorful now, especially since they're going after the NBA.
What?
The National Basketball Association.
For what?
What have they done?
Oh, now what?
Because they've, the NBA bitch slapped Kobe Bryant for dropping an F-bomb. Calling a referee an effing faggot,
yeah.
And some other guy calling a fan a faggot. So they went out to protest. They have these cute little signs. Now they have Fag Lover Stern with a picture of David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, with a pink triangle on his forehead.
Because they were...
they had to apologize, and some of them made, you know...
I see.
He gets better videos. So they took the NBA logo, and where it said NBA, they changed it with fag, and they have a sign here that says fag, homosexual, fairy, gay, poof, bum bandit,
sodomite,
metacon, queer, ass pirate.
Gee, that's real mature.
But wait a minute. Since we're talking about mature, let me say the next words for what I'm going to read on the article.
Okay.
Queerty commentary.
Oh, right. There we go. Yes.
That's our favorite set of words.
Just knew when NBA players started making PSAs against anti-gay slurs that the Westboro Baptist Church would have to make new signs. Their newest one is not only hilariously offensive, it's also educational.
Oh.
The Dallas Voice writes, the Westboro Baptist Church picketed outside America Airlines Center in Dallas before Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Their new signs represent a new artistic direction away from their classically day-glow signs. We are loving the blue color schemes of their new NBA fag logo. God loves Photoshop. We also love their nearly comprehensive list of commonly accepted terms for homos, a helpful thesaurus of sorts. Although they left out butt smuggler.
Oh, well.
Isn't that
butt smuggler?
No, I'm thinking turd burglar.
Turd burglar, that's it.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh. Now, why did they protest?
Nasty.
Let them explain.
I know.
WBC will picket the NBA game between the Dallas Mavericks and Miami Heat to warn the nation that they need to tear down their idols and worship only the true God, Jesus Christ.
Whatever.
The people doomed America set up these spoiled, rebellious basketball players and other celebrities as little gods that they emulate and curse the real God, Jesus Christ, because he does not support their vile sins.
Hello,
additionally, the NBA has an official policy of kissing fag ass.
In or out of the locker room?
Both. Players in this league can be fined for disagreeing with the sodomite mantra, it's okay to be gay. This ancient citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah also choose to side with the fags against God, and look what it got them. Total destruction at the hand of an angry God.
Mm-hmm. You know, Chris, the only thing missing is your beehive hairdo and your horn-rimmed glasses.
Yeah.
So in addition to the GodHatesFags.com and GodHatesTheMedia.com, the WBC will need to purchase the domain GodHatesTheNBA.com. Ooh, we just snapped it up for $7.99. See what we did there. Recently, the KKK and WBC had a little Memorial Day skirmish, but personally, we think the Klan is just jealous of WBC's superior sign-making abilities.
Well, you know, WBC doesn't pay for laundry. You know, get those whites nice and crisp.
Yeah, there you go.
Heaven forbid you mix the red and the white robes.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's going to get to a point where those folks are just going to have signs that say God hates everybody. And then we're going to wait a minute.
Didn't well, God actually, create? It's going to say God hates everybody... .. but WBC.
But WBC. Oh, yeah.
just make God hates and leave a blank space. What they'll do is, you know, if they get high tech enough, they're just going to get electric ones.
There you go. There you
go. They'll be carrying a handheld electric billboard. You just type it in there. They'll scroll over God hates, you know, bags, you know, swipe left, Jews, swipe up. You know.
it's sticks and stones. We're still going to do what we do, you know? Yeah. We're still going to have gay sex. You can say whatever the hell you want. You
know? Right. Starburst, NBA. Oh. Speaking of fights over symbols, battle brewing in San Francisco over the control of the district pride flag.
What?
The iconic rainbow flag that flies over the Castro in San Francisco is the topic of the Thursday's Castro Upper Market Community Benefit District meeting, as the board decides whether to ask the Department of Public Works to convene a meeting on the flag. Concern over who controls the flag came to a head in March when community members requested the flag operators, the merchants of the upper market in Castro, lower the flag to mark the death of gay icon and actress Elizabeth Taylor, Castro Benefit District Executive Director said. They denied the request, saying that the group receives up to 10 requests each month to lower the flag for various reasons, and the board has to limit the number of lowerings. For us, this flag is a source of pride. People want it up as much as possible.
So to speak.
Over the past 12 years, the merchants of Upper District and Castro have control of the flag located at the corner of Market and Castro streets. But the flagpole is on city land. But the Merchants Association funds the insurance and upkeep of the rainbow flag in a public-private partnership. So basically, they're having this big squabble on who controls whether the flag is up or down.
You know, their excuse that they get so many requests, 10 requests a month to lower the flag. It's Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Who has done, what Hollywood celebrity has done more for AIDS than Elizabeth Taylor?
Thank you.
But it's you know, it's a weird thing of, you know, this battle actually was enough that I saw it. It made the Drudge Report, is where I saw the story from. And they linked to CBS San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
It's a website. So,
when we're having fights over who controls a gay flag.
Well, the Castro is, it's a little different than you might expect. It's the A crowd that lives there because those are the only people who can afford it.
The elitists.
Yeah, the hippies who started things can't live there now.
It's extremely expensive to live in the Castro area.
And the flag is actually at Milk Plaza, or the Milk, not
Plaza.
They call it Plaza. It's basically the train station or the subway station there at the corner of Castro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think when I went there, that's when they just put the flag up. Right before that.
I haven't been there since before they even started building that.
But that was years ago I went, because I was with the radio show at the time. So I remember calling up Big Roy and said, hey, I figure a gay Cuban would appreciate a phone call from the Castro.
There you go.
Nice. I could just see the dirty look.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, on a certain Cuban's face.
Uh-huh. Although that face didn't look nothing Cuban, but anyway.
Yeah, no.
It looked like a... never mind.
Yeah, well, you know.
CNN and Anderson Cooper has been doing a segment lately about
the sissy boy experiment.
Yes. And I just want to touch on it briefly about this because it's interesting. I haven't really read much on it, but seeing the part of where they're talking about kids, boys who have exhibited quote unquote sissy behaviors, and they go to one case study that was a person who was allegedly cured by Dr. George Reekers.
Oh, this is the same guy who couldn't carry his own luggage?
Correct.
And he had to have a rent boy to do it for him?
Mm-hmm. And so they have a story on here about a kid five-year-old Kirk Andrew Murphy used to play with dolls and wigs. So his concerned mom enrolled him in experimental therapy at UCLA, where then doctoral student George Reekers told the parents that they would turn Kirk from a femmy boy into a masculine young man. They rewarded Kirk for any masculine behaviors and physically punished him for any feminine ones.
Wow.
By the end of his therapy, his siblings said they could no longer recognize Kirk as the same person.
decades later, Kurt came out as gay, could never sustain intimate relationships, and then ended up committing suicide at age 38.
Oh, God.
That's medieval.
It is.
This week, Silver Fox Anderson Cooper ran a three-part series on George Rentboy Reeker's ex-gay therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that Kurt's therapy was not a proven therapy, but an experimental therapy where they rewarded Kurt with blue chips and parental affection for acting masculine, and red chips and physical abuse for acting femming.
Sexuality has nothing to do with how you act.
True. Yeah.
There are some effeminate straight guys out there.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the things...
There's some very masculine gay men out there,
yeah,
too.
Look at the Asian community.
But one thing that they... one part they did on that is after discovering this case... they confronted Dr. Reekers, mm-hmm. trying to find out what his opinion, and I don't think he gave a comment.
I'll bet not.
No, he gave a lame one. I saw it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was very lame.
They're all lame.
So now that one of his co-CNN anchors is out of the closet, you think Anderson will ever do it?
Ever do what?
Come out.
What closet?
He has come out. Once.
Freudian slip.
And that was enough. He said, okay, I've said it, and... we're not going to talk about it again.
Mm. But speaking of curing your gay kids, we've got two interesting stories that came out of that. We've got Tracy Morgan.
Oh, yeah. Talk about inserting foot.
This is going to be a delisted commentary.
Oh, boy.
After Tracy Morgan's anti-Born This Way anthem made its way around the internet, part of me thought that he would tell everyone to get effed, and the other part of me figured his publicist would put a filter over his mouth and force him to the front of the stage and apologize. It seems the latter won out, because here's the statement Tracy issued to the New York Times this morning. I want to apologize to my fans and to the gay and lesbian community for my choice of words at a recent stand-up act in Nashville. I am not a hateful person. I do not condone any violence against others. While I'm an equal opportunity jokester, and my friends know what is in my heart, even a comedy club that clearly went too far and was not funny in any way. For those of you who don't know, apparently he made a joke about what happened if his son came out to him as gay. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can find the direct quote here.
And ain't nothing funny about what he said.
No.
Imagine not.
And I think the excuse is lame and insincere.
Try to see. No, apparently I don't
scroll back up, because I think it was in here.
But basically, he made the comment that if it was his, he would stab his child and kill him.
He'd get a knife and stab his, and kill his kid.
Not cool.
No.
The interesting part needs to intervene.
The interesting part is that the blogger who was either, I guess, in the audience and recorded this and put it on there, has now come out as gay.
Oh, yeah, he was interviewed.
Yeah, he wasn't out beforehand.
He had to come out to his parents before the interview, so they weren't blindsided by the fact that, he's on CNN Monday morning.
Yeah. Hello.
But, and some of his cohorts are...
Mom, I think I like boys. Well, duh!
Okay.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
He said that if his son that was gay, he'd better come home and talk to him like a man and not, he mimicked a high, gay-pitched voice, or he'd pull a knife and stab the little N-word to death.
Mm-hmm.
That's just sickening.
Yeah.
If some of his colleagues were saying, hopefully this apology will work, the HRC has officially said we don't accept it.
So did GLAAD.
GLAAD, they're basically asking for NBC to fire him. One interesting tweet that came out of that was that the Scissor Sisters sent a thing saying that if Tracy Morgan's son decides to come out, he can come and stay with them, mm-hmm. and they'll read James Baldwin stories.
I love it.
Nice.
Feel bad.
Now, this was also kind of on the heels of Ann Coulter.
What
did the Ice Queen want to say?
I prefer the name Coltergeist.
That's very good.
Hell, that's the way that picture looks.
I think
she's the aunt with a C. Anyway.
That's what I think Keith Olbermann used to call her.
Mm.
But she was on Piers Morgan, which means nobody watched it. On his show, he asked how she would feel about having a gay son. Well, she couldn't come up with an answer.
I'll bet not.
Probably not.
But...
because she didn't want to say what she felt.
2 days later, she came up with a response.
This ought to be good.
Wow, she had a...
Sean Hannity asked her the same, question, but this time, hate Thuppet culture had digested the question... this question poops out a steamy nugget. Obviously, I would tell him he was adopted and ask for help in decorating the dining room.
Redecorating.
Redecorating the dining room.
Oh, that's just
stereotypical.
It's funny. It's yeah. It says a cricket. It's funny if you see it, because there's no way Coulter's three failed marital engagements and rancid she gave could ever produce a fabulous unicorn baby, let alone a non-troll human with actual thoughts and feelings and humanity.
You kidding me? Would any boy in his right mind want to come out of that thing? I mean, seriously.
Well, of course he would come out gay, because I wouldn't go near that a vagina like that ever again.
No, good God. It's like a Venus flytrap.
Oh. Personally, I wish you'd shut both traps, but that's bizarre.
But
you know, we do have freedom of speech in this country.
Some people just tend to abuse it more than others.
Yeah.
So, that was the end of our roundtable. Like I said, it was kind of light. There was a lot of Anthony Weiner stuff this past week. And
those jokes have been rolling all week long.
Oh, yeah.
So now, unfortunately, the latest part of the scandal where, supposedly he talked to a 17-year-old girl.
I was waiting for that one to come out,
But the thing is this. He said there was nothing inappropriate. She says there was nothing inappropriate. Her parents say there was nothing inappropriate. But the Fox News...
Fox Noise.
They of course, know better.
Yeah.
Yes. They always know better.
So, we are coming up here to the end of the show. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale, followed by the Red Eye Special. If you want to find out all the type of program we have here on KPFT at all times, you go over to kpft.org. and get a schedule there. You can also place a pledge of support for the show. Any of the shows, while we're on the air, you can hit the tip button on the left-hand side, or just walk one in. We will be back next week. We have 2 weeks until Pride, hottest, yes. Steamiest, smelliest show we do.
Oh, my. Yeah, especially if you've been marching in the parade all night.
But we love hearing from you. You have several ways you can get in contact with us. You can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. You can join our Facebook and be a friend of the show. Just do a search for After Hours. You can send us snail mail at After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
L-O-V-E-T-T. Love, T-T.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
And like I said, we like hearing from you, finding out what you do. We had a couple of comments on Facebook today during the show. We love hearing about stories, plans for story outlines we can do. Love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
And those are all ways that you can get in contact with us. And like I said, get ready. Next week's kind of open on stuff. We're going to see what we can add in there. Then we've got the always free-flowing Pride show.
That's right.
We're doing Stonewall next week or the following week?
We are doing Stonewall next week.
Okay, so stay tuned next week for the Stonewall presentation that we do.
You'll find out why Pride Day is our 4th of July.
And why we do it in June.
Yes.
Also look for over on Channel 8, a special on Out in America on the 13th at 10 p.m. Because, of course, they're still in fun drive, so they're not going to do any queer stuff during prime time.
Mm.
You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now your PSAs, followed by Zydeco Pasale.
Aloha! In today's complex world, filled with complicated instructions like do this, turn here, don't staple, fold, spindle, tape, or mutilate, one way, etc., etc., why not take a break from all of this? Not near a seashore or relaxing in a tropical paradise. Well, the surf's up over at kpft.org. So mouse on over to kpft.org and pledge and renew online. It's easy, uncomplicated, and will give you that warm and fuzzy feeling of having done something good for yourself and your community.
So wax that mouse, hang 10, and surf over to kpft.org and renew your membership and pledge online at kpft.org. Thank you for supporting KPFT Houston, Radio for Peace. Mahalo.
One plus one is two. Two plus two is four. And if the yolk's still a little runny, that's what you call fried over easy. Always talk quietly in the library. How you give a Zerbert? Some people have innies, some people have outies. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people.
If you're going to be 2 hours late, pick up the phone and call.
Remember, you're always teaching.